Please rise for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call the meeting to order. Trustee Kovic.
Here.
Trustee Denbrich.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
Trustee Vandenhoven is here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Gast is absent. Trustee Zeller.
Here.
Are there any suggested modifications to the agenda this evening? Yes.
If you could remove item number 9 from the agenda, please.
Yeah, I think what we'll do is when we get to it, we'll move to postpone. Tracy informed me that we weren't ready tonight for that item number 9, and I don't think Larry is here. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'll make a motion to remove item 3A from the agenda as well. Approve the agenda. That will be my one modification. Any other suggested modifications to the agenda? Is there a motion to approve the agenda as modified? Trustee Green, second. Trustee Kovic. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Item 3B, update on the proposed development of South LeBron with the City of De Pere staff. We have some folks from De Pere.
Kevin Pavich is here tonight, community development director, that you're going to have. So he's just going to go through mainly the proposed development south of LeBron and answer some questions. That there are a few maps. We don't have enough. If you guys can share, pass them around, that would be great. Also, Ken has another meeting he needs to run to with the city, so he has to head on here about 10 after to get to the second meeting.
We can show jumps.
Can you state your name for the record, please, and address?
Sure. I'm Ken Pavick with the City of De Pere. Local address is 2268 Old Plank Road in De Pere, Wisconsin.
For the record, Trustee Gast is here at 6:35.
Cool.
Yeah. All right, yeah.
Sure. Well, thank you for allowing me to speak with you tonight. I guess the main idea, as Tracy has outlined, we've been meeting the staff with Tracy, just discussing this area, and it seems, actually going back in the files, a lot of the discussion goes back all the way back to the 70s in terms of types of plans or actions that could be done. And it seems that it keeps on coming up as an issue. On average, if you look in the files, almost every 5 years, there seems to be something that comes back up to bring it, you know, to a head of more discussion and so forth. So really what we thought would be the best approach is the concept of an area development plan. So really what we're trying to do is define what happens with the corridor depending on when the development occurs, whether it occurs right away or in the future. At least everyone finally knows what we're hoping to accomplish for the corridor. So the main idea tonight was just to share that development plan with you, and we can answer some basic questions. But really at this point, it is just a plan, it's a concept. We're looking for some feedback. And I guess part of what our goal would be is that if we can start to build some consensus on which way to go with the plan, we can then put that into an intergovernmental agreement and move forward with that and then kind of put this to rest. And also have the ability to share the plan with individuals and say this is what's going to happen in the future depending on when the plan takes place. So let me just go through some of the concepts in the map and things that we have discussed. Again, this is considered an area development plan. So in other words, what we're trying to do is show how we're putting everything together in the area. And the one thing that I do have shown on the map is a proposed development that would is a property that's owned by Hillcrest Lumber, Harry Mako. And again, it's just shown under that's just a concept. It's a concept that he put together and presented to our planning commission, so that's why I have it inserted onto the map. It is not a final design. It hasn't gone through any formal review or been formally presented to the planning commission. It was just presented just as a discussion item. The reason why, this historically, the site actually has been planned this way since the 1970s. It's gone through several edits through the city of DePere. But it's always been planned for a future development in terms of the density. Actually, the site itself, the way it was originally approved and then modified in the 80s was for a maximum of 100 units or equivalent of 100 units. What's been presented, this is a concept to our planning commission, was 96. So again, it's this concept right now, so you know, could it be higher or lower? If it moves forward in the future, that would be something that happens. One of the things that probably drew attention to some of the residents in the area is that the property is being worked. So they're clearing it and they're hoping to put it into crops. In discussions with Harry, their ultimate plans of whether the project would go forward next year or the following year, they're not sure, but they're hoping within the next 2 years they might be able to address it, but right now they're not able to do that. Even with that being said, we thought it would be worthwhile just to try to, again, put together this area development plan and try to get some of those details worked out in terms of access, mainly because we're also working on other areas on the run right now with the village. So that kind of shows the development. The two things that you'll see that stand out on just the concept plan is first the access to the property itself. Again, the property itself is actually owned, again, by Hillcrest Lumber. The other properties are under different ownerships, so he does have a legal right for access to the property. So now the question is what's the best way to provide that access? So in obviously going through discussions and options, what's been proposed right now is a road concept where we would extend LeBron as a court. The actual name, I guess, would be determined later, but you'd see it actually be done as a court down to the property. And that'd be a access with a direct road connection. And also, if you look heading to the south, you'd also see that there would be a connection that would line up with the existing connection off Ridgeway. So the site itself would actually have two connections provided to the site. In terms of other concepts that we have discussed with village staff is what to do with the LeBron right-of-way corridor. So that issue is kind of put to rest. And one of the ideas that was brought up through the village would be to have the city of DePere to detach the our portion of the right-of-way. So you'll see that actually being shown in the hatched area. So you see from the court all the way to East River, and then from East River, and actually goes almost all the way to the East River itself. East River Drive, actually the East River. The southern half, which would be in the city of DePere, would actually be detached as part of this proposal. Another thing to point out in terms of the area development plan would be that you'll see sidewalk connections towards the west. You'll see the sidewalk connections on the north side of LeBron, and those would continue down all the way down to the end of the court. That would transition into a trail. And again, we're showing it just directly down the middle, but that trail could be under or could be designed however we'd like to see that to be done. That would go all the way down to East River Drive. And then there's the proposed sidewalk, which would be on the south side of LeBron, that would take you all the way to the trail. So that kind of gives you a concept of how we're trying to make those connections. And I know, working with Tracy, that you know we're both the city and the village have worked together to try to apply for grant funding, obviously for connections down to the East River Trail. So that kind of gives you an idea of how we're trying to approach the site. Again, I guess the biggest thing with the site layout, again, just remember that's just pure conceptual. There could be less buildings, maybe instead of two stories, three stories. Again, the way we're looking at it from the city standpoint is we're looking at what is permitted or what was approved as part of the original zoning for the site, and that's for a maximum of 100 units So that's the way we're looking at it. So we're looking at it as 100 units. What does that generate in terms of trips, in terms of traffic? How do we mitigate that, and how do we best handle that? And that's why we're looking at the two access points and how we design the site. So that's a quick version. I don't know if there's any questions or comments, but that's kind of the purpose for today.
We'll be opening it up to our guests in a moment. Do we have any questions or comments from the board? Trustee Zeller?
I have one question. The directly east of the proposed development, that pond, that's in a pond in its entirety. Is that right?
Correct.
And is that sufficient for detention?
Yeah.
For that new development?
Sure. And that's one thing you'll kind of see actually in the site. You'll see actually the road kind of floats over one part of the pond. Again, what would be done is they need to work with their engineering firm to confirm the stormwater. In their original concept, the way that pond was originally designed, it's probably not a true stormwater, it's more detention. So if they would design it deeper, they actually could shrink the size of that pond down to meet our requirements for stormwater, so that's why they're showing that modification in terms of layout. Whether or not that would happen that way, that's still to be determined. Like I said, that could come back, and they could say, well, we want to only do 5 buildings that are 3 stories in height. That's why I'm just trying to stress that it's more the density is what we're trying to look at versus the actual site layout that's being presented tonight.
Presently, the pond serves all 3 of the existing buildings.
Actually, the pond to that north that you're looking at is actually an overflow. So actually, most of that stormwater is actually treated by the one to the south, and then it actually is the over. It serves as a flow actually heading to the east to the pond that you see in the almost the bottom right-hand corner of the page. So if you have a large storm, you'll actually see the water flow over the things and into that pond, but it's primarily treated in the other direction.
Are these issues seem to be connected but not necessarily related, in that we could decide one way on one project and a different way on the other, or are they the detachment of the trail part of it and the inclusion of the extension of LeBron into a court? Those are two different. And we could do the trail thing without doing the court. We could do the court thing without doing the trail. They're not, one doesn't necessitate the next. Is that correct?
No, but I guess all we're trying to do is make sure that we're planning for whatever could happen in the future. So the way we're looking at it is, obviously, Harry is working the property, and he gave us some intention that he's interested in doing something in the future. Now, with that two-year window, obviously, that puts us more in a proactive planning mode, but if the economy changes or his priorities change, you know, this site could remain undeveloped for another 10 years. But I guess the main idea would be is that if it comes back up in 10 years again, we can say that this is what we agreed upon in terms of the design. We know what's done. So from a concept, I agree with you in terms of we could do 4, but some of it. So, for example, this road concept may not go in for 10 years. We can do the detachments, you know, this year, next year, in terms of that. But then we know that that portion right there is reserved for access to that property. That'd be the way I guess I'd be looking at it.
I guess I'm asking more in terms of the city council's I don't know how much you've talked to them, but their willingness to do this. Is it both of them or nothing? Or are we talking about two separate issues here? Because couldn't we decide we don't want the road to go through? I mean, that would be part of the plan. Our plan is not to put a road into that area ever. I mean, that's a plan. Or does it have to be some version of this entire plan or nothing?
Well, I guess the only thing that we need to address is he does have a legal right for access.
Okay, I wanted to ask you about that.
Because it's
from whom?
This is through statutes, because it's a parcel. You can't landlock a parcel without providing access. And since it already has right-of-way provided to it, legally, he has a right to request access to.
Does he have the right to 2 access points?
On his property.
Yeah, he has for that property back there. He has the right to request access.
There are 2 access points proposed. One would be the extension of LeBron, and the other would be off of Ridgeway. Is that right? And
correct.
There's a possibility of going off East River Drive, but that was not preferred by the city council. Is that right?
No, it wasn't preferred by the our plan commission, mainly because it actually goes into that road right away, and there's some power poles there, and this is the length of that road. in the design would not be, I guess, well, in terms of the distance for that.
So he has the right to have access to his property, but we could have one access point for the property, and that would be access. Is that right? Or does it have to have two access points? So where I write
It could have one access point. It has been discussed. There was one original discussion of, even when Harry was going through some of the things with the Planning Commission, even at our level, of, what Ed, you saw before with the access for East River, or would you just provide a large driveway off Ridgeway? Would that be an option? Again, from, I guess, this based off what we've seen in terms of safety and everything else, as far as these kinds of complexes, from our standpoint, the city promoted, or the preference was, to have a formal road providing access to the site. And then you could have a secondary access where you would have, I guess, the full-born access as far as emergency vehicles they could get through, but the primary access for emergency vehicles in this concept would be down LeBron. Just because of the size of our trucks and everything, that would need to get down into there.
As far as you know, though, if we just went with the off the bridgeway, the one access point, it would meet the legal requirement that he have access to his property.
Formally right now, no, it does not, unless the city would... Unless you buy access or we formally condemn access, no, right now technically it would not. We need to provide them access through that right of way, the LeBron right of way.
Our friend from DePere has the floor, so please. All right, so as it stands right now, there's no legal access from Ridgeway to his property.
Correct.
But there's an option of doing something to that driveway to make it legally accessible. There are other options besides this that would meet the legal requirements. Is that?
Is there a way, for example, for let's say a dedication of right of way or a permit easement be provided on that I guess westerly property line to Ridgeway? Yes, there could be, but there's not now.
Okay.
And again, traditionally from, I don't know if you're familiar with what's called flag lots, but traditionally, it could be done, but also from our standpoint, that's not a good, very good design. It would be to promote like what you call a flag lot. A flag lot's where you have just a single access point that goes up, hidden behind a parcel, and then you have this big, huge development behind it, whether it's a home or, in this case, like that. It's not very efficient in terms of design, but
Trustee Kovacs?
I was just going to suggest, since Mr. Pavish has to leave soon, we give the residents a chance to ask questions.
Anything else before we open it up? Is there anyone who'd like to speak with regard to this issue? We only have about 20 minutes with Mr. Pavish. Could you please address the board in your questions and comments?
My name is Cora Holt-Hofterhide, 3962 Presque Isle Court, Alloway. Been a resident of Alloway for over 23 years. I've been at this meeting, so I've been a property owner for about 23 years. My husband has been a business owner in Alloway for over 45 years. Before I begin, I have a couple questions. Number one, when I bought the property from Harry Mako, if you want to see where I live where the road concept is. That pool is my backyard. So it goes without saying, but I will put it on record, that I am vehemently opposed of the road concept. I have been here, if not four times, I have been here six times. I do not have the exact number of times I've been here in the 20 years. However, I notice there's some residents here who are also here to talk about Alloway developments and apartment buildings. And I want what happened to us not to happen to them. I sat here in March of 2012. It was not your board. It was a special meeting with the Village of Alloway and DePere, led by your public works director. We all at that time expressed our concern. We also vehemently talked about the opposition. The last person to speak at the meeting was Mr. Mako, when, if we would have had notes like we were promised from the City of Department of Public Works, I could verbatim say that to you. And Harry Mako sat in this room after 2 hours of discussing and personally said, I have no intentions of developing this lot. I have no intentions, and furthermore, if I did, I would have to jump through DNR nightmares with their rules and regulations. I know some of you were in this room. I know some of my neighbors were in this room. What I want to talk about is communication after that. We all filled out a piece of paper. We were all told to put our name and email down, and he would follow up with us, and they would communicate both to Pierre and Alloway on what was going on. That was in March of 2012. Lo and behold, in May of 2013, a neighbor delivers a piece of paper in my mailbox telling me that, by the way, look out your backyard, because the field has just been plowed down. I wondered why we had deer, possum, ducks flying around Presque Isle Court and McCaslin, because they too lost their home. May I sent a letter, an email, to some of you, and I apologize I may not have hit all of you on the board due to junk emails. However, the response came back from, I believe his name is Carl Behrendt, is your city or public works director here? And if I communicated like he communicated to us on this issue, I would be fired from my job. He told us, he assured us that there was nothing going on, there was absolutely no plans with the pier. I get a letter this week. This is the first letter I've ever gotten on this notice. I do commend Paul Zeller, and I commend some of you for calling back to Mr. Gass. I believe you contacted me right away a year ago. However, the letter clearly states that on February 25th, the Pier Public Works, Harry Mako, reviewed and explained his proposal. That was February 25th. On May 2013, I have been told by our public works director that nothing had been done. I missed a meeting 2 weeks ago when it was clearly stated that Alloway doesn't want to be left in the dust on this. Well, quite frankly, I feel as a taxpaying citizen, I have been left in the dust. And again, I am going to go on record that I am vehemently opposed. I do not want my pool. I don't want those people to turn left and hit my pool. I have lived here for 23 years. I have been up here 4 or 5 times. And it's about time we start thinking of Alloway, not worrying about what Harry Mako has to do. And he can put his driveway on Ridgeway or somewhere else, but we are not going to stand for it. We get no benefit out of it. If you're talking about green space, if you want green space, I'm all for it. I'll help you. And you know what? We don't need the pier to write a grant. Alloway people were smart enough to write our own grant. Talk about green space. We don't want fumes, and I don't want 200 extra cars in my backyard. Thank you.
Thank you. Especially if you have a question for Mr. Pavich, he has to leave in about 15 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll be brief. My name is Scott Van Pay. Me and my family have just recently moved from out of the area into the McCaslin Street. We live at 822, and we have 2 young kids. In talking with a number of our neighbors about this issue, we're very concerned about the number of traffic automobiles that this will increase through our neighborhood. If you look at McCaslin, it is a very small street, and as it is, the number of cars that come through at a very high rate of speed, we're constantly on watch for our children. And my feeling is that if we have this development go through, it's going to only increase the amount of through traffic on a street that is not designed to be through traffic. So that's the only comment I have. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Carmela Wydell. I live on 818 Antonagon Court. I originally came from Chicago. I see how builders come in and how the city works with builders and not with the people who live there. Yes, it's a 100 units, but it's not 100 units where you live. That's the difference. They come in to our neighborhood and say, we're going to build this, and you are going to like it. No, we do not like it. Alloway gained nothing from this. We lose, and we're a strong community. I like it here. I go to Chicago, and I said, there's nothing like living here. And I'm from Chicago. I was born there, 60 years there before I came here. And I know what developers like him do to the city. Don't let him do that. Don't let him push us around. That we used to have deer back there. Oh my God, my kids never saw a deer until they came here. Didn't see what the green. Everybody comes here and say, "You got such a clean neighborhood. You have such a friendly neighborhood." There's nothing wrong with 100 units. Let them put it where they want. Let the exit go out on Ridgeway. Let us breathe clean air. Let our children play like they always play, safe on our streets. That's what we have to think of. What's going to happen 10, 20 years from now, and they say, "Oh, now we want to develop a little more here and a little more there and take a little more of Elway Street." You know, it's inch by inch. And they're not thinking about your children, their children, and my children. They're not thinking about the trees and the deers that were there a couple of months ago that aren't there anymore. No, I say no. We will be hurting ourselves if we do this.
Thank you. Just for clarification, Mr. Parrish is from the city of Napier, and he's here to present the discussions that have taken place with regard to their planning commission and their council regarding the issue. He's not the developer. Yes, sir.
Jeff Metzler, 322 Longview. I was here for quite a few meetings. I tried to get you to open LeBron back up down to East River Drive to try and alleviate some of the traffic off Longview and Ridgeway. Unfortunately, the village board voted no to keep, they wanted to keep the road closed when it was originally supposed to be opened back up as a street like it was before. If you allow these apartments to get built, McCaslin will have an extreme amount of traffic. Anybody coming on the east side is going to either shoot up Longview or McCaslin to get to these apartments. We can't dictate on what Harry Mako can do with his land. That's not what we're here for. He can cut the grass. It doesn't matter. Nobody owns wildlife. If deer are gone, so be it. That's not what we're here for. We're here to discuss the development of this property and how it's best going to suit the residents of City of Napier and Village of Bellevue. Villages, and by all means, don't want cul-de-sacs because of the high maintenance, snowplow removal, and so on and so forth. To allow this, who's going to plow it? You know, who's going to maintain it? City of Napier or Village of Alloy? We kind of, I think, share the burden now. But it's a dead-end street, so they can just, you know, push that snow up against it. So if the development went in like it is on this map, I would vote against it. I would vote for it if you guys bring it back up and open LeBron back up as a through street. That's the proper way of doing this. You can't have one access off of Ridgeway to get to all those units. Either the plan is eliminated or open LeBron back up so those, that traffic can come up LeBron to get to those apartments. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Peggy Bellister. I live at 3966 Prescott Court. I just have two things. One, a question from the representative of DPIR. The apartments that are through the field right now that are existing, can you tell me about how many units are in there?
I believe there's 100 units to the south, and then I think it's 54 in the corner and 44 above that.
So
going counterclockwise.
Okay, so I'm talking west of the pond. There's
For the proposal?
No, the building that's existing.
I think there's 100 units there.
Okay, all right. Well, then my other question and comment has to do with communication. Craig Burt had replied to an email that Cora had sent out, Cora Hall-Tochterhide, on May 5th. His reply was, what we're doing is working on an agreement with the city of Napier to resurface section east of East River Drive. That's fine. Also to provide a trail, a walking trail in the post office section of Lebron Road so we can remove the barricades and provide a walking route from McCaslin to East River Drive. So I, in that, I replied to him just to confirm it's my understanding the post office section of Lebron Road between East River Drive and McCaslin is joined by the way to Karen Alloway, split down the middle. And the only proposed development of this stretch of road is a walking path with a more aesthetically pleasing barrier on each end, not the current barriers that was discussed at the village meeting in March of 2012. I believe that was the date. His reply 1 minute later was, that is correct. So I don't know where the road concept came from or anything else. But I know we can't really do much about the development of that field that is deep here, but I mean it totally affects all those homes along the closed-off section of Lebron and the homes north of there for the next couple of blocks. So I, too, would like to go on record that I don't want development back there.
Hi, good evening. My name is Paul Erifirth. I reside at 805 McCaslin. Some of you may recall that at one point in the past I was chairman of the planning committee here, and prior to that, chairman of the Board of Zoning Appeals. I would ask, as a citizen of Alloway, that whatever occurs here with respect to this development, that you focus primarily on protecting the integrity of this neighborhood. This current circulation plan, and I'm just going to, I don't know the traffic counts on East River Drive, but I'm going to guess there are more going north than there are going south. People that reside in this development, and they're going north, they're going to zip out of here, race down McCaslin, and head up East River Drive. That's what we see happening in this neighborhood now. 10 at night, 11 at night, midnight, sometimes later than that. There has to be a better alternative than allowing that access here on Lebron. Maybe a cul-de-sac Lebron right here so there is no access, and extend Lebron in here with a cul-de-sac so that people have to get to the development from East River Drive. There has to be an alternative, and I would charge you, Village Board, your primary task here is to protect this neighborhood and protect the interests, the integrity of this neighborhood and the safety of the people that live here. This would be a disaster for those of us that live in this neighborhood with all of that additional traffic. It would probably be hundreds of cars a day. That would be a terrible thing, and especially a terrible thing that the village of Alloway would do to the citizens up here to accommodate Harry Mako's needs. And I understand the real world, and I typically have, what I've seen is what Harry Mako wants, Harry Mako gets. But this is more important than that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Resided 811 McCaslin. I would just echo what Paul Erifirth just said. I'm in total agreement with his comments. I do think that East River Drive has a consolidation of multifamily housing, so any multifamily housing development should have an emphasis of its front door on East River Drive if that occurs. It should not dump into single-family residential areas if you can at all avoid that. I can speak with some experience about the speeds on McCaslin. A number of years ago, I lived right on the curve on the bend of McCaslin, on the corner of McCaslin and Popple Court. I had a car go through the curve, hit my Colorado spruce on my front yard. If it wouldn't have been for the Colorado spruce, the car would have come into my living room. So the speeds on that road are regularly 35 to 40 miles an hour, and it 25-mile zone. We do have an influx of younger families coming back in. The neighborhood is being rejuvenated with younger kids. There's no sidewalks, as you know, so the kids are riding their bicycles on McCaslin Street to come off of the cul-de-sacs on the McCaslin. So, again, I think what Paul mentioned is critical for this board to consider. Thank you.
Thank you.
Scott Lindrichs, 740 McCaslin Street. It was mentioned earlier at the beginning of this that they were talked about, it was always, the intention was always to open LeBrun up all the way through there. The problem that I see with that is an incredible failure in development. You don't develop an area. Harry developed that area and all those homes are backed up to it. If you're going to do it, you do it right from the beginning. You face that where LeBrun was. You face it that way. Now, my property is going to be directly affected because that cul-de-sac or that access is going to be right beyond my backyard. There's a couple of questions that I have with that. Looking at it, first off, how are you going to slow traffic down as they come through LeBrun behind my property? You're not going to be able to slow them down. Second, I've got these two great big willow trees sitting in my backyard that are constantly dropping branches. Who's liable for a vehicle, any vehicle damage that happens if I have a branch fall on somebody's car as it's going through, or if I've got branches that are falling in the street? You know, I'm going to end up having to cut those down, so it's going to start affecting me financially. I'm going to end up having to pay for tree removal. I'm going to end up having to pay for a fence back there if this goes through. I'm going to end up with, already in the spring, every year I get a pond that sits back there to start with. Now you're going to talk about snow being pushed there as well. Now I'm going to have a bigger pond. So we're going to create a big mess there. My suggestion is you can't prevent this property. I don't think you can prevent it from going in. It's revenue for DePere, but access should come through DePere then. It should come off of Ridgeway, and it should come off East River if you have to have the two access points. Not back there. You run that through, it was a failure in development then.
Thank you.
I feel like I should be on the board. This is my third meeting in a row. Joyce LeFay, 824 Antanagan Court. Thank you for coming and sharing the proposal with us and putting rumors to rest. A question that did come up was, do you know what rent area is the subsidized housing at all that he's proposing?
None of that's been brought up yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Mr. Mappo did develop the whole area, including the alleyway portion where we live on the lovely cul-de-sac that we're happy to call our home. And my understanding is when he was here at the meeting where the resident spoke is that he said he never needed to access LeBrun Road. So that our subdivisions were designed never to have that road go through. It's not even a proposed road. So, and my other question for you, these machines and large equipment that have been coming down, have, my understanding is DePere has bring the road closed signs at LeBrun to allow them access. I did come to the board meeting. They were parking in my backyard, which is right on the pond. They did come again Saturday, 2 weeks ago, not this past Saturday, the Saturday before. 7:15 in the evening, we can hear beep, beep, beep. There's a large excavating truck with a large, not good on my construction equipment. Mr. Van Den Adam was so kind to come over and see, and we did take pictures. They literally have the boards pulled over out to give them access. So, do you want to comment on that? And that's my concern when they do develop this large area. Why they want to be using DePere access.
Do you know anything about that, Kevin?
Sure. Yeah, I kind of took some notes, so I'll try to address just the questions. Just in terms of, there's just a comment in terms of most of the project. Again, from my standpoint tonight was just to present to you just the concept, and I hope what Everyone understands our intent. We've always worked very well with the village, and I guess that's our intent, is to try to continue to do that. The only thing I can say is that, again, this has been a planned and approved concept for development for over 25 years. So from that standpoint, it's been in every comprehensive plan, it's been fully documented. So I'm not trying to defend a developer at any point in one time, but I'm just trying to defend the city from our standpoint, that we're not just trying to throw something up for revenue. It's not our intent. Obviously, the revenue is good for the city, but it also is not our intent to have a wildlife area that's been fully defined for development for 25 years. So just wanted to clarify that. Some of the other questions that at least I could answer, I know there's a lot of comments in terms of opposition. Obviously, the city has discussed the road issue with the village many times. Again, there's, as you can see even tonight, there's some opposition about which way we extend the road. There's residents that don't want it to come from Brunn. There's probably residents that don't want it to come from East River because of their backyard. So again, it's a balancing act of what's the best way to provide access. And I guess that's one of the things where we're trying to sit down and gather input and, again, come to a consensus where the area development plan.
If it were to come off of East River, you said there was some electrical poles or something. Are we talking right next to where the proposed shared trail is? Or where off East River are we talking about?
No, I guess I was talking in terms of having a road. There was, at one time, there was, I know there's been even some comments tonight of having a road put in with the cul-de-sac from East River Drive. I know there's even comments from last year in terms of the same thing where they don't want that road coming up their backyards as well. And so it's one of the things which how we balance that issue. I guess the one thing, there's several comments on communication. I guess I don't want your public works director to take the full brunt of that. I just want to give at least a clarification for that. Again, the concept in discussion with Harry came to our plan commission, I believe it was in February. And at that time, based off the recommendation from the planning commission, they wanted me to work with Harry in terms of options for providing access. So before we did anything in terms of what would be done for the site, we wanted to see, to make sure that, for one, that we could work out some type of agreement in terms of what we're expecting as a minimum for access. So once we had that done, we did inform the village in terms of that discussion with Harry, and then we wanted to sit down again and discuss the project. So I just want to give some context to that when I did go to the Plan Commission, we did not contact the village right away because at that point in time, we did not have a consensus with the developer in terms of access. So I just want to clarify that, and I don't want to, your public works director, I don't think was trying to individually withhold information. So this other comments, again, for traffic. Again, my intent tonight is not to defend the traffic. We can do additional traffic stumps, traffic counts in the area to look at that. There's been multiple studies done in the past, and we can look at that again. Obviously, East River, again, definitely has higher counts in terms of traffic. LeBron, in that portion, whether you consider it or not, it is serving as a minor collector right now based off the number of streets that feed into it. So then, the question when we were looking at it and having some of those discussions is that do the trips, if you look at the way we have it laid out, do the trips out of that site between Ridgeway and LeBron affect or push those roads over their capacity? And, you know, based off our analysis, this initially, and we can do more of that in our discussions, that would be no. Again, right now, I think LeBron, we just did a count last week in LeBron between that area in Alto Ivo, and he has 933 trips on one day. So it's not really a significant issue in terms of LeBron as far as his carrying capacity. one of the other items that was brought up was stormwater. Again, if this concept would go forward, if any concept goes forward, we'll work together, obviously, with the village in terms of addressing stormwater, not only from the development, but also from our street design. So we'll address stormwater. Our intent would not be to have snow flying off and flooding properties and so forth. So we try to address that in terms of our stormwater design for the street. In terms of falling branches, I guess the only answer I'd have would be, it'd be the similar policy to what we have with, I mean, Alloway has tons of trees with streets, with trees hanging over. Some of those are within private property, so it'll be the same policy. So I'm not sure how you guys apply that right now. So The last comment was this on accessing the site. I know there's the gates there. If they are moving the gates on a private property, they can definitely call me in regards to that as an issue. Or if they're leaving equipment on private property, they can also call me on that. In terms of access, just because, again, he has a right to access the property, we told him that they could move the one gate and obviously come down the right-of-way to access the site to work the property, because they have a right to get to the property. And there's not a way for me to say that they have to access it through the existing development under asphalt. It wouldn't make sense for a farm equipment to do that. So,
do you know why it was 7:30 at night on a Friday?
If there's issues with, that's the other thing I mentioned too, issues with time, I think both of us have ordinances related to nuisance as far as noise. And if there is a violation of that, I don't know offhand, I apologize, I don't know offhand our exact ordinance for that. Mm-hmm. But if they are in violation, again,
I don't know
what our policy is, but if they are in violation, then what you can take care of that, you can issue a warning letter or at least discuss it with them so they're not doing that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess my concern was, if you gave them access, it is a shared road, why was LA not informed and asked if they were going to give that right for them to, I mean, the barricade is actually rigged. I don't know if the pier did it, and they literally pulled the boards out and lay the boards. I have pictures on my cell phone if you'd like to see them. I'm happy to share them with you. But again, the communication, it is a shared road. So you're saying, oh, you access it here. Well, what if I want my landscapers to come and access it? I'm not going to call Alloy and ask them to.
I guess the only thing I can say is, I mean, we are trying to communicate. So no one, we knew that when Harry's moving forward and that he had intentions to start working the property, we did communicate that with the village in terms of that. In terms of that process, so
our village didn't know it.
They did not know it.
I had a letter from somebody handwritten. Our village did not communicate to the people. I called some county supervisors and informed them.
Yeah, they did not know
trees were taken out. Well, I know. The only thing I can say, I know we had calls in terms of what activities going back there, and we tried to address that. And in fact, we tried to work with them too, because people were concerned with wildlife and wetlands, and we had to work. We had them contact the DNR, so the DNR knows what's going on. Obviously, the city staff knows because we're getting calls, and we also, I know I talked with Tracy, that's when we started having set up the meetings in terms of trying to coordinate and moving forward with this area of concept plan. So I guess, just in conclusion, I know tonight we won't solve this all.
Right.
I guess more than anything, the city of Pier, again, what we're trying to do is try to put together, again, this area development plan, whatever it might be. I guess right now this is what our initial stab was at. We're willing to take comments and try to look at that. I guess more than anything, I guess we'd like to make sure, as we mentioned tonight, we keep on communicating. That's probably the most important thing. And again, I guess from our standpoint as a planner and also representing the city, obviously we're seeing that as a future development that's been planned for a long time. But on the other hand, too, we're just as interested in trying to preserve. We have residents that would be affected by the road as well, both by that, by traffic. So, we have some of the same interests in trying to provide value and stuff like that. So, I think we share some common ground that we can build upon. So, I appreciate it.
Can you look at the sidewalk issue? And I'll let you go. Just the sidewalk issue for the future. Why would you put it on Alloy for a development in DePere?
The question was on this for the sidewalk. The only reason that we looked at that is that if you look at LeBron with the sidewalk between LeBron and Lilo, on the city side, those are all backyard properties, mostly with fences. And in our discussions, when we're trying to make the trail connections, again, as far as the big picture, we're trying to make the connections throughout the area. It makes more sense when you have properties facing it that can help maintain the sidewalks. Now, I know in talking with Tracy, there's probably a way, since this is a trail connection, that it actually could be potentially maintained by the village. But again, that was some of the concept behind that. So.
All right, I know you have to go. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
My name is Robert Gray. I live at 822 Ontonagon Court. My house is directly across from these projects. It's the third house from the cul-de-sac by Ontonagon Court, where it's now. I'm retired as a police officer and a professor, and when I talked to Harry Mako at two meetings ago, he said the biggest mistake he ever made was designing this whole section where they have only one access into all the homes through McCaslin. Now, I know as working as a traffic safety officer that if you open that road, you're going to have one heck of a speed trap that goes down there. Because whether you put 25 miles an hour or not, it will not work. There is no way to get into any home, if you look at this map, to anybody going north. The only access that you would have would be to people over in the pier side. My feeling is, what would you do? Put speed bumps? Barriers? 25 mile an hour speed limit? We hear from most of the people here that I've seen the change there. I've been living there for 18 years, and there are more children there now than ever before. And it's scary when you're going to have children walking out there, and somebody's going to be doing, and I've seen it where they've gone in there, and I know the speed limit. I've worked in that area. They're doing 45, 50, 55 miles an hour. Now, I don't think that it's a great thing for us to sit here and then all of a sudden have a whole bunch of children run over by a vehicle. That's going to be a tragedy. And that will happen. I guarantee it. I know it. I worked in there. I did the studies for the city of Chicago. So I know what will happen to this. I don't know what the other approach would be. To try to get in from the pier side would be the best avenue, in my opinion, because it's there, the ones that want the development. And the alleyway side is all locked away because it's all backed up to all of our houses. So I don't see any purpose at all developing a fast road there, especially on curbs and sidewalks and concrete. You're going to have a dangerous situation, and that that's how I look at it. And if you see it on the map, it's as plain as you can be. Longview, it's a distance away. I lived on Longview, and that to me was never an issue there because you have a school there. There's an elementary school, a primary school, and I've never had traffic where we're down there that much. The only time that they have it is on soccer days and soccer games, and that's about it. Any question?
No, thank you.
Okay.
Tom Connor, 830 Antonagon Court. And I guess my question to the board and legal representative or whoever it might be, regardless of its access on the east or the west, what is Alloway's legal obligation as far as, since it is a shared road, to grant permission to that? Do they have to do that under some state regulation? Or can Alloway just say, no, our portion is closed, and therefore a road cannot be developed, or it has to be on the entire De Pere side or some other access? What is Alloway's legal obligation to allow access on the shared road?
Well, that was my, sort of my line of questioning when we started. I know that municipalities have to provide private property owners legal access to their property. The way that I'm reading it, and I'm not a lawyer, we've got to check with our counsel, is that they have other options for providing legal access to that property. And as far as I know, they could adjust the road off of Bridgeway to provide one legal access point that would suffice. But again, I don't know that to be true. So in my mind, there are options for doing this where they would not need access from the north off of any part of LeBron. Randy, Randy's an attorney during the day, so.
Could the village preemptively just say our portion is closed? And
I'm not entirely sure. I think that's a very valid point.
It is.
You know, I mean, presently they own half. I felt bad for the residents. I mean, that's kind of a no man's land back there because two municipalities own half of a road. And I remember, I think, years ago before I got on the board, I think the village of Alloway was talking about wanting to develop that road, and De Pere said no. I think what you were referring to about a year or so back was De Pere came to us and said, we want to develop the road, and we said, no, we don't want to develop the road. And so getting it detached or vacated by De Pere, I think, is in Alloway's best interest, because if we own the entirety of the roadway, we can, of course, do with it what we want to do with it, and we don't have to talk to anybody else.
But I think the point you raise is a valid one. I mean, if they need, assuming they need to put access in there for Harry to access his development, my very rough opinion, and I think we'll check it out definitely with legal counsel, is we could say no to our half. And then in my mind, it would be insufficient. It would be insufficient surface area back there to put proper roadway.
Right.
Whether or not it could be a private road might be a different question, because the distinction between private roads and public roads. I mean, clearly, if we say no and can say no, then there's not enough room to put a public roadway in there, because it wouldn't be able to meet the dimension requirements. I don't know that precludes a private road, because there's different rules that pertain to that, and they may be able to do that.
I think there's a private road off of Ridgeway right now. Is that correct? It's not a road off of Ridgeway. It's a private road.
Right. I believe you're correct.
And that's why they're considering it the secondary road.
But the other thing, and don't quote me on this, because I'm remembering back to law school.
Don't quote Andy on anything tonight.
This is not my thing. But one note I'll make for Village Council is, I mean, we hear about municipalities have to provide access. I don't think that's technically true. I think if you are a common developer and you own all of this land and you somehow subdivide it and parcel it off in such a way that you leave a part inaccessible and it's still yours, well, it's too bad, so sad for you. You're the guy that did it. So that's one thing I think, you know, I'll talk to our village council about. I remember that from property in law school that, you know, I mean, if you're the guy that did it all and you kept to yourself the part that's inaccessible, ain't nobody going to give you access because you're the guy that did it in the first place. So that may be a legal issue that will come up later. I mean, I feel bad for you guys. I mean, I think, you know, somebody alluded to the fact before that, you know, if it would have been done right the first time, maybe it should have been developed. You know, that road should have been there. And then you guys could have put your houses in appropriately. That's way too late for that. They're already there. They're already in people's backyard.
And he sold us the land.
And I have a vague recollection, you know, from, I don't know if it was Joyce that told me or somebody told me a long time ago, that when you guys were buying them many years ago, I mean, there was kind of a representation made that nothing's ever going to go back there. Don't worry about it.
Actually, there was a letter, and I'm trying to track down my neighbor who used to live behind me, has now moved to Florida. Well, he was one of the first people to buy that property behind my house. And then he had a document from Harry Mako, that because Harry Mako sold us all that land, that said that would not be developed, and this was part of it. Well, you know, how times change, and like I said, we can't touch what he's going to do. But I still think they need to go. You know, what he said about 25 years ago, that agreement, I would challenge that as well. I mean, I heard it that there was not any. I wouldn't have bought my property back there had I not done something. I mean,
I can't speak for the board, but I'm venturing a guess that the sense of the board will be that this road concept is unacceptable to the village of Alloway. I'm not in favor of it, you know, because you folks have been there, and this is a peer project, and it's been commented upon too, and I fully agree that this is Mr. Mako's land. I mean, he is free to develop it as he sees fits. I mean, we are a free country, and more power to him. He can make money.
I'm going to interrupt and...
I was just getting out of
it. I know. And that's exactly what I'm going to interrupt. I want to take the rest of the comments, and then we can have discussion amongst the board. Anyone else would like to comment?
Good evening. My name is Nancy Reichman, and I reside at 3940 St. Croix Circle West. I live on the corner. You can kind of see the very about three quarters of our property. We live on the corner of St. Croix Circle West and LeBron. I want to, first of all, thank whoever it was that sent us the mailing to let us know about that this was on the agenda this evening. I would not have known about this. I thought this was all put to rest about maybe a little over a year ago when we were allowed input as to developing the entire LeBron. I was glad to hear that you were opposed to this. I'm opposed to it for a couple reasons. First of all, safety. If you look at my property, and from my house, I can see the road close sign from our front window. One of the other gentlemen mentioned that McCaslin is a drag strip. I would disagree and say LeBron is more of a drag strip than McCaslin. There are We sit, sometimes just for fun, we sit in our window and we watch the number of people that come from McCaslin to LeBrun that don't stop. There is a stop sign there. We've called the sheriff to come out and watch for that and ticket people. He came out once and sat for about 10 minutes and then left, and nothing's ever been done. So my concern is the safety. If you look at the angle in which McCaslin meets up with LeBrun, that's a very horrible angle, and if you're going to open up LeBrun any more than it already is, you're going to have some major accidents there. And it's a, to me, it's a safety thing, whether you do the road concept as proposed on this plan or open it up all the way. It's a safety thing. The other thing I object to is the proposed sidewalk that goes on my property. So I hope you will all oppose this project. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Becky Nyberg, and I live at 214 Simonette Street, and I'm here because I'm interested in the community being more available for walking and biking. That's one of the reasons. But good planning calls for not having cul-de-sacs anywhere, because there's just so many reasons not to do it, that if you're looking at this road, you should either look at opening up LeBrun all the way through are not putting anything in, because cul-de-sacs create problems for your sewer lines, create problems for your traffic flow. Because if you put the cul-de-sac at one end, you're putting people at the other end are saying, you know, we're not going to get that traffic by our house, but you're going to have twice as much by somebody else's house. If you open up the road all the way through, then people can go either way, and you have half as much traffic on either direction. And so it just makes more sense to use smart growth, safe planning processes, and either put the road in all the way through, like it was intended, but the cul-de-sacs just don't make a lot of sense from either end. So you just have to think about, you know, how the sewer line is going to go in, how you're going to plow it, how you're going to clean it, how expensive is it going to be to maintain, those kind of things. So, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, just by a show of hands, how many people here are opposed to the project the way it's proposed in this? I know that some of you probably feel that way but didn't want to come up and speak. And is there anyone who thinks the opposite and supports this plan and is brave enough to raise their hand? Everyone face this direction. All right, thank you. We'll take up the rule. Discussion with regard to what we heard in the presentation. We heard from Trustee Gast. Is there anyone else who'd like to weigh on this issue? And then I would like Mr. Berndt to sort of speak up as to what the next steps might be. But before we do that, I want to echo Ken's comments about our public works director. I was involved in, I think, some of those emails that were being traded back and forth between some of the residents and our public works director, and the entire board, and myself included, had no idea they had any plans to do anything back there, and neither did the public works director. And when he found out, he took pretty swift action. He, believe me, Craig has been working on this stuff for a long time, and I know we really want to do something on the east part of LeBrun, or east of East River Drive, and has worked very hard to try to separate the issues so we could get that project up and going. I know Don would like to see that happen too. So he's very motivated to make sure that everyone's informed, as informed as possible about this issue. I think he realizes, we all realize, that nobody's going to get away with anything. It's not going to do anyone any good to withhold information, because it's going to come out eventually. So I first heard about this, I think, you know, a couple of weeks ago when I heard from all of you. Trustee Zeller.
The communication issue that was brought up, do we now have the all of the email addresses, and are we communicating now as was requested in last year's meeting?
We don't actually have an email list. We have a mailing list. That's what we used. We would like to create the email list, but we don't have one right now. And I know that's been brought up a couple of times, but in the forms that we handed out for comment, there was not a slot on there to put emails in. So we never really did develop a list. I think the peer may have developed a list for their people, but that's all the information that we could locate in terms of what we have. So yeah, we would like to create that email list.
Can we start tonight and have people sign up on their way up as to what their
and also address? Could we just have everybody here that wants to communicate via email Craig direct? And then we can get it that way.
Pass around a sheet and get it. Tracy,
can we get that? Is there any reason we can't?
Just pass it around right now so
we can
get it. Yeah. Because we use that form, and I think DePere had a list for their residents to sign on the list, but they didn't ask for public comment, written public comment. We did. But on the forms we collected, we didn't have a slot on there for an email address. We just didn't think of it at that time. And I think that's what it.
Okay.
Where came from.
Well, let's start tonight and have folks sign up with your name, your full name, your address, and then your email list as well, or email address as well. Trustee Zellinger, do you have another question?
I would just also take up for Craig, for Mr. Barrett on this, in the first week of May, when these the clearing of the property started. I was completely unaware of this. But I had placed on the Public Works agenda the LeBrun Road issue with regards to the east portion from East River Drive in order to address Don's issue and the lack of action on the road improvements for him. And then that was perceived as we were discussing this stretch, and I apologize for any confusion that may have caused, because it was just a coincidence that they started clearing that week, just a few days prior to our Public Works meeting, and the residents felt that they were being excluded or left out, and that was completely not the case. This was for Mr. Robson's issue to try to get it in front of everybody for the Public Works Committee, and then subsequently that it would carry to our village board meeting, that we got to get this issue back on the front burner for the pavement area for Mr. Robson's area. So I apologize for that, and the having everybody's emails might help with those types of situations. But that was not the intent, and Mr. Barron was in the dark just as much as we were, and he caught a little flack on the email back and forth. So I would also like to take up for him. And I don't know anybody that is more cognizant of the DNR regulations and doing things correctly than Craig Barrett is. So he would not be turning the other way. With issues regarding wetlands and destruction of that portion of that portion of DePere, he would have brought that up, and so I really want to try to take some of the heat off of him, because he had no malice in this. So,
Trustee Kobe,
sure. Yeah, just a comment. I think this was a very effective presentation. You know, very civil, and I think very importantly, Kent is in a great position to influence not only the developer but the DePere City Council. And I think the message, the way it was brought this evening, is going to be very helpful as we work through this. So, thank you.
Any comments about where the board is? I know it's not an agenda item, we're not voting on it. Trustee Gass didn't want to speak for the rest of the board. I'm not in favor of it. I agree with the residents. I don't see any benefit for Alloway. In fact, there's some financial cost to us, and that we'd have to maintain that portion of the road, or at least half of it. And we would have residents who are inconvenienced, not only who have backyards to this proposed stretch of the extension of LeBrun, people turning around in the cul-de-sac would be shining lights in their backyard, people coming out of that development, and if this is the primary access point for the development, most people are going to be using that. They're going to be shining lights right into folks' backyard. And that's why I asked whether these two projects were related. I like the idea of putting the trail in. I like the idea of gaining access down in the east, the portion of LeBrun east of East River Drive, so we can do what we want there. I agree with Trustee Gast. If they deed over that stretch behind all the courts, we can do whatever we want with it. We can restrict access into the future. I just think there's really nothing in it for us. We're going to have a lot of headaches with traffic on McCaslin and maybe even on Longview, and I'm sure it will help the tax base in the pier, but I'm just not willing to inconvenience and put our residents at risk for the sake of their development. Trustee Gass?
Yeah, I mean, if we don't legally have to, there's no way I would ever be in favor of that road concept. You know, but the other thing I don't like, too, and Joyce, maybe you can get those pictures that you have. You know, the darn thing says road closed. If it's a closed road, I mean, I don't think anybody should be back there. I mean, you know, and I think, you know, we should maybe send, you know, at least from our village's perspective, I mean, I don't think they should be back there.
Who should I send it to? I got a lot of them.
Send what temple?
I just wanted to see the pictures, you know, the ones where they, because I heard they pulled the planks out and they had laid them down,
right,
and they moved their equipment,
yeah,
back there.
On what side of the street? If it was on the city to pier and they gave them permission to go till his land,
yeah,
can he not, on the city, it's a shared road, can he not pull those planks off
and
of
folks,
that side of the
I don't
road?
Want to interrupt. We've taken up the
yeah,
rules, so we're not at the point where we're,
yeah,
well, I think
having an interrupt conversation here. So.
I mean, you may be right. I mean, if they have control over half of it, but that doesn't stop the village from saying, you know, we don't like it, we don't want it to happen.
Sure.
You know, because I don't think it should happen. I mean, somebody said, you know, they couldn't take the planks down and put their landscaper on in their backyard and let them come down that road.
Because they have access to it. Yeah, you could go either way.
Yeah. So
and we do have to provide them. We have to provide them access to his land. The question would be: does he have other access,
yeah,
even to get
yeah,
out there and clear it and do whatever he's doing now that
yeah,
doesn't intrude behind? And it seems like he might. But I know that they have to provide him access. And if they want to move their barricade and let him use the right of way to get to his land, and there's nothing we can do. I don't think there's anything we can do about it except for communicate that we don't appreciate it.
Well, that should be
but we could do that.
Yeah, we should do that.
Anything further? Trustee Dark.
Just a curiosity question. If we decided, no, we don't want to do this, and it would have to be, they can only not use our site, couldn't they just move the road enough feet to do it?
I don't, I mean, construct their own road completely
right,
on theirs. I don't think the measurements work out. Mr. Barrett, I don't think the measurements work out. They would be too close to some houses on their side. And
without looking at the details, I'm not sure if they'd have that possibility or not. As a standard road, no, they wouldn't. But if they made a narrower road and shifted it over, we would have to look at that. I don't know offhand.
It would have to be more, it sounds like it would have to be more of a private drive than a road. And we're talking, what, 30 feet, is it, Craig?
Yeah.
30 feet, and right now half of it is on our side. So they would have to, they'd have to shift over a minimum of 15 feet to the south. Yeah.
They'd hit those houses.
There's folks' backyards there. Yeah. Anything else? Trustee Zellick?
I believe the last residential multi-unit development that took place in the village of Alloway was a Hillcrest project. And that project was done with the PDD process that the village has for development. That process enabled the village board to have some control over the site and density and many of the other criteria items that go into a project like this. And I believe that that we as the village board need to take this issue right to the city council. And we don't have this as a formal action item on our agenda tonight, but I believe we should work directly with the city council on this, because this is going to be in the city's plan commission process for quite a while, and I think we've got to be right up front now with the city council to determine. Basically, I think we should ask for detachment to the village to be at this point in the process before the development goes any further with their plan commission, which all would ultimately go to the city council. I think that if we are up front now with asking for what we want, that we can get some action on this. And I'm thinking that that may help us detach or separate the east portion to get some movement for that part of the project by going right to the city council. So I would request that we place the discussion, further discussion, on our next village board meeting so that we could take action one way or the other. If we leave it as it is right tonight, if we leave it and the discussion ends as it is right now, then it's in the hands of the De Pere Plan Commission, and they don't have any formal record of our, you know, of our opinions of this meeting. They only have what Mr. Pappage would bring back to them. So I think if we want to keep the process going to get a resolution, then we do a formal communication with the city council.
We had this discussion last time. It's what we were afraid of having, you know, four steps in the process that Mr. Pappage talks to Mr. Byrne talks to us, and then it goes back through the. And by the time it works back and forth, you've got a big mess and nothing's been done. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. So can we put that on the next agenda? We also, Tracy reminded me, last board meeting, we had, Mr. Byrne had presented us with a letter. And what we were going to do is you were going to have the meeting with De Pere that Friday. And if something was askew and was significantly different what was in that letter, then you wouldn't submit it and it would come back here. And if I recall the specifics of that letter, it included separating the two projects. It also involved, I think, the detachment of the property. So some of the things that you're talking about were in that letter. And to me, that was our message to the Pierce City Council already, what we wanted. Is that your recollection of it? You wrote the letter, so you should...
Yeah, that's right. That's what it was. It was requesting detachment of this closed section and separating the east portion. And, I think it's worthwhile at this point, based on what we know, that we should send that letter because it makes that request.
Right. Is that formal enough for you? I mean, we can do both.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You can send the letter and then put it on the agenda for a formal resolution next time. I think we're sitting on something that could help us communicate our intentions to the city council, and we could just have that sent, which was the intention last meeting.
Was that addressed to the city council or to the mayor?
It was addressed to the city manager and the mayor.
Okay. That would be satisfactory, I believe, as a direct communication.
And if you still want it on the agenda for a resolution, you can definitely do that, Trustee Zeller. You want to make absolutely sure that we're communicating clearly. Mr. Byrne?
Well, a couple suggestions for you. I had one meeting with engineering staff to try to resolve some of the questions, and I think we resolved them. Tracy and I had a meeting with the planner and the engineering staff, and we talked about when they presented us with this development, which was a little over a week ago. Subsequent to the meeting with the planning staff, we revised the agreement for the east portion to separate it from the rest.
Yeah.
And I think we should make that revision. It's at Attorney Duffy's office. We should make the revision and submit that request to sign that agreement for the east portion and keep that separate from the rest. We should send the letter for the detachment of this middle closed section. But I think that we should have, in addition to that, and maybe Public Works is the right forum. Although I don't normally like to recommend moving things to Public Works because we always seem to have a pretty full agenda, but the technical and legal issues, there is some time. There's not a proposal on the table, a final proposal, that we have to act requiring us to act in a few days, if you will. But I think there's some technical information we need to have and some legal information we need to look at to formulate our response or our position with De Pere. And I think the best forum for that is to cover it at Public Works and then bring it to board.
Are you talking about the extension, this, what the proposal that they gave us tonight?
Yes, right. Our response to that. And I think there should be some technical issues that we look at with regard to this design. Because there are some things we talked about in the session we had with the peer. For example, road access from regular road access from two points, which this doesn't quite provide. And I think that should be a position. If we're going to allow access on the north, there should be at least two roads that provide access. But also the legal, the requirement for access to the site, whether they can force that issue. I think we need our village attorney to weigh in on some questions, as well as the technical.
Just a guess.
I think, you know, since we authorized the letter of law at the last meeting, I think clearly the two issues we talked about last meeting can be the content of that letter, which is to break these two things into two separate deals so one doesn't affect the other. And the other portion was a request that they vacate or detach, you know, the entirety of that, the balance of the stretch of the brook. I like the idea that we take it to Public Works, because I think we meet what? When's the next meeting? So we just have
like 13th or something like that.
Because I think we need to discuss options for De Pere. I mean, because I think, at least in my view, the village position to De Pere will be, we do not like your proposed road concept. And we all saw it tonight for the first time, too, as the public did. You know, and to tell them, no, we don't like that. But I always think it's beneficial if we can say, no, we don't like that, we aren't in support of that road concept, but here's some other options for you, and maybe we can point them in the right direction in terms of what we'd like to see, and so we can say no with one hand and give them some options to consider in terms of how they can provide access to this development on the computer side of things. And that's something I think we can work through Public Works, because you know, saying no is one thing, you know, and we should say no, but to say no, but why don't you guys explore this, and maybe that'll be the topic of discussion that they'll have on the crew side, that if they take our lead and maybe give them some suggestions on how they can fix their problem.
I understand the logic of that. I don't know why we're doing work for De Pere to figure out De Pere's problem. I mean, they have a guy who developed something himself into a corner, and now they can't get out, and I don't know why we want to solve their problem for him.
It seems like
they explored lots of options already. He had answers for why they can't come in from Ridgeway or why they can't come in from East River Drive. But
we're smart.
We can. Well, I know that. you can take up at Public Works whatever you'd like. I think the residents have spoken. My sense from the people who've spoken to the board that we don't like the option that they proposed, whether we want to rub them, but there's some alternative. That's, if you guys want to spend your Thursday mornings like that, that's fine. Any further discussion?
Since we've already authorized that letter, if it's an action item in a previous meeting, then I think that it would be unnecessary to bring this back for our next village meeting.
Okay. If you change your mind, or if anyone wants it on the next board agenda for a formal resolution, we can do that. But
and then as far as taking up the issue at the Public Works meeting, Trustee Green is the chair, and I would leave it up to Trustee Green's decision as to whether we address that in July.
We need some legal answers back for Craig before I think we take it up at Public Works. If at all possible, if we get it on Public Works, the Public Works agenda is out on the website. I believe, Tracy, you've got email lists going around.
Yes.
We will get that out to you if we take it up at the July Public Works meeting if we have legal questions back.
Good night.
Okay. Thank you all for coming. Any final comments? Quick comments.
Just quick comment. If Kyle Byrne is not our Department of Public Works, if I did not mean to offend him, I just was felt that the communication from my end was not what it was acceptable. If it was because of I don't mean any disrespect to him. I just need to be communicated to. And I've been through this for 5 years to 20 years, so I really would appreciate it. That I did my email again, so please let us know that we will be communicated with. So I meant no disrespect to him, but I now that I know the situation.
Craig has pretty thick skin, I'm sure.
Yes, true.
Just one more comment. The email works, both ways, and you guys have been great letting us know. Because I don't think anybody knew that they were clearing that stuff until somebody sent an email to the village and to the trustees saying they're back there, looks like they're planting crops or they're clearing stuff. So if you see something back there, let us all know too. So we keep in the loop as well.
And you can go to the village website too, like Hillary mentioned up there, all of our agendas are out there. Well, of course, out there, all of our agendas, so you can always look out there to see what's going on and what comes back to. So that's public as well.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. President, one last comment. If for some reason down the road it would be decided that LeBrun would be extended all the way down to East River Drive, then I think you need to have a three-way stop at the intersection of LeBrun and the castle.
Right.
That would be a minimum. If that would eventually go through, you have to slow that traffic down at some point, and that seems like about the halfway point or so.
Right. Thank you. I think someone who lives on St. Croix, people don't stop, then they...
Well, they don't stop. They don't stop because there's no intersection there. It's basically...
Right.
The way it's designed, it's the only oncoming traffic to you.
Right.
So
but
that,
even
that's
the
not
way
an excuse to, right. to fail to yeah. yield to a stop sign.
But even the way the road is constructed, it's more like merging onto it rather than being a T, and I think people will probably blow through that stop sign if it's the only one there. So thank you for the suggestion. Announcements. Trustee Green.
Heritage Hill has their Civil War reenactment Saturday and Sunday. So if you've never gone to that, it's actually an awesome event. It's right here in our community. They will have President Lincoln there with the Gettysburg Address. They've got Civil War reenactments of battles and then also the camps. They have a lot to do for kids there. So I would encourage people to attend.
Trustee Garr.
I just wanted to give an update on the collection or donations for the Hillside Fire. Tracy and I met with Red Cross and North Shore Bank today, and there's a little over $9,000. We're looking at having a cutoff date of June 30th, and press releases will go announcing this, so if there's any more money that needs to get in, we can get that in. And we'll have a final meeting with the victims from the fire on July 11th, at which time at the convent at St. Matthew's, there was a collection site there. The people would be invited back now that they probably have more knowledge of where they're staying and what they're needing. And after that, the Red Cross and village staff, Tracy and myself, and North Shore Bank people will meet with them and distribute the funds. So donations can still be made at any North Shore Bank.
Thank you for helping with that. On a related issue, there was swift action for residents of the Hilltop Apartments. They're not the residents you usually think of. Pets. Some pets were lost in the fire. And there was very swift action. The very next day, I got someone at my door with a flyer. They had organized, and they're trying to find missing cats, and they have Facebook pages, and it's quite an operation. Well, they're still searching not only the area, but they're suspecting that there might be some cats still trapped in the building and either trapped or afraid to come out. And so they're looking for some equipment, whether it be infrared equipment from the fire department or some way of trying to detect whether there are cats in there, because it's basically a restricted area because it's an unsafe building. So I think we're getting ready, Tracy, if I recall, to basically raise that building and knock things down, and we're just trying to figure out how to do that. All the investigations are over, And so they want to see if there's any way that they can determine whether there are pets in there still. So if you have any ideas or if you've been through some of this before, please let us know. My wife will kill me if I come home and I didn't mention this at the public forum.
I just was notified by the property owner yesterday. The insurance company is going to be on July 7th and 8th. They will be bringing some big equipment in to try to raise part of that building to get into where they believe the source may have been. And then the fire department is going to go in and take a look at that and see if they can determine what the source of the fire was. After that, then they will be discussing. They have not said exactly what will happen after that, when demo will occur, or how they will handle that. So that is yet to be determined, but will not for sure be before the July 7th or 8th date when they're going in to the facility.
Thank you.
Another thing?
Yeah.
I just wanted to make a plug for the Red Cross. I think Tracy and I were kind of amazed today at how they operate and how fast they were in and what they did at the fire. It's pretty amazing what they did. And they have kind of, they work with a local catering place where they can get the coffee and get in there at any time. And they have sandwiches for them every night just in case something happens. They're just very, very organized. And there's no way we could work through this because the names can't be given out without the Red Cross being there. So just remember the Red Cross.
And one other thing with related to fire a little bit, but as you all know probably, that they have selected a fire chief in the city of Green Bay, and Mike Knapp, who has been the interim fire chief, will no longer be the fire chief. They have hired a gentleman named David Litton from the Illinois area that will start. I do not know an exact start date. I also do not know exactly where Mike will go. My understanding is protocol with the fire department in the past has been the chief will bump down to assistant chief, so then Ann Watscott, who has been at many of our meetings, will be bumped down to battalion chief, where she had served prior to. But again, that has not yet been determined. So as I get more information with the starting date with the new fire chief, as well as who will be our primary contact, I will certainly let you know. But I just wanted to let you know that it was in the paper, and I believe I sent you all an email in that regard. But so that's the latest on the fire department. And then one other quick thing, again, related. On your counter, you should see a pin. We ordered pins for all the board members as well as the village staff department heads. So it was a request of the village president. As you guys are all at public functions, just to have something that you can put on to denote who you are, and same with our department head staff as well. So that's why the pin is sitting up with our new logo, and just to give you something you can wear when you go off to some of the functions that are out there.
Thank you. Any other announcements? Public appearances. Is there anyone who'd like to speak this evening?
Thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Pat Machado. I live at 552 Hilltop, about nine homes up from the fire on Hilltop Apartments. We've lived there for some 23 years. We raised our family here, and we're staying here. And what I want to talk about tonight is the disposition of that property moving forward. And I know it's soon, and the building is still down there, and they're still doing their investigations. But before I get into that, and this is no reflection on the people that live there, I mean, we met many of the people during the fire and have much empathy for them, but it's more that the building was built in 1973, and the building was poorly maintained. It became a real blight in the neighborhood. Shrubberies died and were left in place. Painting was never done to the building to maintain it and keep it up in nice condition. And also, at any given time, you could find screens and things falling either off the building or sitting alongside them. So it really wasn't an aesthetically pleasing thing for the neighbors that lived to the west up in the Somerset and the Hilltop area. Some of the other problems that we experienced was parking is a tremendous issue, and I know that's been brought up to the committee many, many, many times. Our roads aren't built, the town roads or the village roads are not well built for parking. And during the summer months down there, you get cars parking on both sides of the street, and all of a sudden you have a street that's almost down to one lane, and certainly two cars cannot pass by. And that was always creating a real safety issue for children if they jump out. So there was always that problem there. And along with the parked cars that were down there, the people that in those cars that went there to visit decided that it was time to clean their cars out. And there are residents that live along the west side of that street, and two and three times a week would go and pick up beer cans, pop cans, half-eaten hamburgers, and all kind of garbage. And the people that were visiting down there had no respect for any of the permanent property owners whatsoever. Another issue, and I find it interesting, some of the issues that the people are concerned about with the DePere development that's going on. Somerset and Hilltop was turned into a raceway. There were cars, believe it or not, going down both of those streets, 35 and 40 miles an hour, and of course we don't need speed bumps on those streets. But these people were coming down at tremendous rates of speed with total disregard for any children in the area. And you could always tell somebody who lived on Somerset and on Hilltop, you could tell they lived there because they were driving carefully and watching out for the children in the neighborhood and schooling. So, you know, that really became a real serious issue with the heavy high-speed traffic going down to the apartments. And then last, if you look at the Brown County Police blotter, in my 23 years, squad cars and safety vehicles going down to that apartment was really commonplace. I mean, there's some very good people live there, but there are some also very bad people live there. So now to my point of all this, we're living with one of Harry Mockle's messes now. And I don't want to beat up on Harry because I don't even know the guy. But what we want, what the village or the community, the Somerset community and the Hilltop community desires is that the city buy that Hilltop apartment land and turn that land into green space parkland. And I know you got a park just down the block, but you also have a park where these little kids have to cross busy streets and all kinds of things. And it's also near the river, which parents aren't really comfortable having their kids playing near the river. But we could buy that land, turn that into green space, and that would be an excellent buffer between the permanent residents and the rental residents along East River Drive. And I have no idea on costs or anything like that, but that's what we desire to have done there. We do not want another rental property put in down there. It's too close in to the permanent residents, and there's just too much nightmare that went on because of that rental property being down there. So that's what I have to say. I would like the village to look into the possibility of buying that. I know it's probably too early. I haven't heard anything that Harry has come up with about wanting to rebuild, but I'm sure he's going to want to rebuild on that site. So that's all I have. I thank you guys for your time, and those are our concerns and our valid concerns. So it's a bad night for Harry.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else? Okay. Thank you.
Yes, I will.
Good evening. I'm John Sherman. I live at 543 Hilltop Drive. We've lived there 41 years, and I remember the first year we had moved in, we heard that Hillcrest, I won't use the name Harry, decided that he was going to build apartment buildings down at the end of our street. a bunch of the people that were there at that time. I don't think this was a village then. I think we were a town. There was no village board then. But anyway, a bunch of us homeowners got together. I know we had one meeting in our living room. There were maybe 5 to 8, 10 couples. And we ended up writing a letter to Harry Mocco as the president of Hillcrest, saying that we had bought our homes and we didn't realize that there was going to be an apartment building down at the end of our street. We were quite concerned about traffic and the aesthetics of the neighborhood. Harry came and addressed us. He was quite displeased with us that we implied that he had pulled one over on us. He said, don't worry about it. This is going to be a high-class rental property. We're going to have the driveway way over on Somerset, close to East River Drive. You won't have to worry about traffic. But like Pat just mentioned, we don't have to worry about really high-speed traffic because the road is in such bad shape. It's more like a tank trap. You don't have to worry about speed bumps because anyone that goes more than 35 is going to wreck their car. But he was right. The traffic to start with wasn't that bad. It was high class. My father-in-law lived there for a couple of years after my mother-in-law died. It was really a boon to our family. But someplace in the last 15 years, rental subsidy came in and the renters changed a lot. And apparently a lot of those people don't worry about their car going more than 35 over the tank traps because it gets pretty bad on that street. I want to just say I'm in agreement with Pat. There should not be high-density apartments down there, whether or not it can be zoned for duplexes or single family or green space would be great. I just wanted to say that I'm in agreement with that.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Mike Moore. I live at 580 Hilltop. I also own a duplex that's perpendicular to the Hilltop Apartments on 819 Ryer Street. The fire was so intense they had to water down both the homes because we were that close. Fire departments did a wonderful job of coordination. I feel sorry for the people that were forced out of their homes and their pets. But we are a neighborhood. We know a lot of each other on both streets. And during the last 15, 20 years, it has gone downhill from where it used to be. It used to be a high-quality rental property, but through various owners, now Mr. Mocco owns it again, it's deteriorated. You hate to admit that it's Chapter 8, subsidized housing, that's causing it. But there's a reason, and we as a community are concerned, and we'd like to see the town take an active position and make sure that any plans that are presented by Mr. Mocco or Hillcrest Lumber are having an opportunity to circulate within our community so we can have further input and make sure this isn't an under the tables type of situation. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Sheila Hanel and I live directly across the street at 3400 Hilltop Way. And I've been there for 10 years nearly, and I have been witness. My bedroom looks out at the apartment, and so 2 a.m., 3 a.m., cops, rowdiness. I knew the manager there, and I called her, and they've had residents kicked out as a result. So I personally
directly witnessed all this. So it would be, along with a lot of my other neighbors here, I think in the best interest of all of us taxpayers, if there would be a park or single-family homes like the rest of us. That's my position on that, and thank you for listening.
Thank you.
My name is Chad Finpe. I live at 552 Somerset Drive. I agree with the other speakers that it would be nice if these apartments weren't there anymore. If it was single-family development or the green space, that would be great. Just to give you some statistics, between the Hilltop Apartments and Libel on Hilltop Road and Somerset, there's 82 single-family homes, which pay over $250,000 in property taxes every year. If you look at the Hilltop Apartments, they paid $46,207 in property taxes in 2012. If you look at how many incidents, police incidents, according to the website with the links from the Alway website, in the 82 homes, there was 8 incidents. At the Hilltop Apartments, there was 57 incidents between June 18th and 2012 and May 22nd, 2013. So if you kind of start doing the math, you see the property taxes that the apartment building was paying, $46,000. I think Alloway gets about 35% of that, which leaves it about $16,000. Plus we have all the overhead of the police calls, all the dirt, all the mess, the busy traffic. I don't feel like my kids could play in the street or ride their bikes in the street, or people walking by because of the high volume of traffic and the speed that they were going. So I guess I too would agree that, you know, the land would be better served if it was single family development or green space. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak this evening? Okay, thank you. Item 6, action regarding the Hoffman Road scope of reconstruction projects and alternatives. Would you like to hear from Mr. Burns before I entertain a motion?
Please.
Yes. Mr. Burns. Feel obligated.
Just don't say you didn't hear about it.
Something we said.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about the brother.
Let's talk about the brother.
In your packet is some information to further describe the proposed project and also the question that you had about what's the cost impact. If you go to page 4, the previous pages are the same as what we looked at before. On page 4, in that, I think that's item 6, I don't know what it is. You know, I listed some streets here. There's Huffman Road, South Clay, Hastings, East St. Joseph, Green Avenue, and then some work on Weston Run for resurfacing. From staff standpoint, looking at the streets and what our priorities are, Huffman Road, the east portion, liable to the East River, you know, is a definite project. We need to prepare for that. We need to be able to fund that project. That project will move ahead next year. The South Clay, Huffman to Wabanar, is in very poor condition, particularly the sanitary sewer. We had some situations there in the recent past. That is a high priority street to do. Hastings, this remaining segment of Irwin to Baird, would complete that street. We did the water main already, but this would complete the balance of the street. And then East St. Joseph over here, is in very poor shape. We replaced the water main, but this would replace, resurface the street and replace the sanitary sewer. Those are our high priority streets, the ones that we feel are the next ones that really need to be done. Green Avenue is also a project that we need to plan for, because in 2016 that's going to be a funded project by the Department of Transportation. We have utilities there that need to be replaced, so that's what this addresses. But I'm going to come back to this list of projects, because if you recall, we talked about perhaps looking at some water main funding and looking at Riverside Drive. So I did some more study of this since our last meeting. But if you look the next few pages, you asked about some cost numbers. I'm going to go back to the path forward, but I just want to show you the cost first. I listed a $2.5 million project, a $3.5 million project, and a $5 million project for all of these scenarios, just to give you the range of what the cost impacts would be. The general tax levy projection, I broke out the cost of the project as it relates to street reconstruction itself. So the street work, which is the curbing gutter, the paving, the subgrade preparation, and the storm sewer, that goes on the general tax levy because that's street. And then the water utility and sanitary utility, we have separate. And I asked Clara to look at, you know, I use the number of homes, and I estimate the cost per home. This was done on the actual tax levy. And if you look at the page, well, it's both on the spreadsheet and the next page where it's color keyed in, you can see that a $2.5 million overall borrowing for projects results in about $19 per home per year on the tax levy for that size project. A $3.5 million project is about $25. The phase one project that we did was $25 per home. And a $5 million project is about $37. This is a little higher because there's more work in the streets in this group of projects than there is on the utilities. That's why it's a little higher. But that gives you the impact on the tax levy. And then if you go to the next spreadsheet, the one that's...
What would be the tax payment? You've given increases, right?
Yeah, this would be...
1930 more than...
More than what's at present.
Yeah, What amount of taxes are folks paying if they own a $150,000 house? I do the calculation myself.
The total?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's,
yeah,
so it's going to go up 1930, but what?
I don't have the.
From what
to
what?
Listed here. Yeah, I was going to do that and I forgot to do that, but yeah. That's. So I only have the increment.
Okay. Do you know, does anyone know that? Off the top of your head?
Just the village portion or the total?
Pardon?
The village portion or total?
I want to know what residents would pay in taxes on a $150,000 house without this project and then with the
2,800 to
3,000?
But
that's your total.
Right.
County,
total.
State, you know, I mean, that's everything.
Yeah, that's everything. Right.
Isn't that what you're asking, Steve?
No, I'm asking, the village's portion. What would they pay to the village?
Okay.
It's $6.45
times
150.
So you have
$900. I thought I did that, Jeff. I thought I took the difference in the rate, 6.587, and subtracted 6.458 to get a difference in the rates, and then did the multiplication in it.
Well, I would put it at about $900. A few extra, a few dollars over $900 for the current.
Okay.
So, I mean, let's say it's $900. It would be $919 for a $2.5 million project, what it would be.
Mm-hmm.
It's $969 based on the current $6.46.
Okay.
So, $967 plus, what was it, 39, 38?
Well, for the $5 million project?
Yeah, that would be $36 and a
$36.
Great. Is it a good time for bonding right now? Isn't it? I mean, if we wait, we're going to probably end up paying more.
Well, you will. And even more so on construction costs. We're still seeing rock bottom prices on construction.
Can I ask you a more general question?
Sure.
I mean, we have lots of streets to repair, and they have to be repaired, and we have lots of infrastructure to repair that needs to be done. We're trying to gain as much efficiency out of the cost of labor and of the borrowing rates and of any grant projects that would go along with it and these shared costs. So we keep borrowing money, and there's obviously a payment period where we pay it back, and we're paying some amount of the balance plus interest every year. And there's a life of the road. Mm-hmm. What's the life of an average road? Are we talking to... Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, are we ever going to catch up, or are we constantly going to be borrowing money to fix roads? Because I know we're behind in this schedule, but are we ever going to catch up so that there are points when we're doing lots of paying off of roads that we borrowed for, but we're not borrowing new money for roads that have to again be reconstructed?
The concept that we're working under and looking at our borrowing and what we can afford to borrow in 2024 is when most of your debt is paid down. And that's the last largest phase of all the projects. And that might be 5 million, 6 million, 7 million, 8 million, to decide what it would be at that point in time. In other words, we would add some more projects in at that point in time to finish the balance. You'd be at about, of the high priority, poor condition streets, poor utilities that need replacement, you'd be at roughly about 80% caught up.
How long is 2024.
Well,
how long does the road last? We just did Green Avenue.
40 years.
40?
40 years. And we resurface it once during that period. And that's just the milling and resurfacing. Okay. And we should be able to get 40 years out of the road.
So we can catch up and we can get to a point where we're not
we should be
reconstructing roads while we're still paying off the debt for
the Let me jump right to the thought that I had as I looked at this further. I was concerned about the Riverside Drive project coming up, Green Avenue coming up. Well, Riverside Drive, for us, in 2017, we have to replace utilities on that road, whatever we're going to do in 2017, because the street, the highway reconstruction itself is in 2018, and they want us to be done beforehand. And we also have Green Avenue that in late 2015 would start the DOT process, and it would be probably reconstructed the far east end in 2016 and into 2017. So one of my concerns was, if we borrow today, what are we going to have to do in another 2 years to borrow for the next project, particularly when I don't know all the costs on Riverside Drive yet because of the size of the project. I mean, we talked about costs before, but there's some things that we are looking at that we may want to do in addition to stormwater. So what we're talking about here basically now is what we do for 2014 and what we do for 2016. And I'm actually thinking we might want to stage it over 14 and then a borrowing in 2016 so that we can better match the costs and the scope on the next round of projects beyond what we're looking at for this next year. That's a thought. I mean, we can invest more money in our streets right now. But I think the way to do this is that we make a decision right now that we're going to move forward, and by October, November of this year, we have the designs basically done on a number of these streets, which we can zero in more on the cost, and we take the first round of projects on this previous list, except one thing that we learned in the last week or so is we had a design meeting with Brown County Highway on Huffman, and the west portion of Huffman is a resurfacing project. They're not intending to do a reconstruction. that costs $1 million. They want to do the project. Doesn't necessarily have to be done in 2014, but they want to do it within 2 or 3 years. So it might be better fit into the 2016 borrowing, because we have to do utilities on that street. So I guess what I'm suggesting we look at is, between now and about the time we complete our budgeting for next year, that we do the preliminary, well, we take the design of these streets to roughly the 80-85% level. They're not quite ready to bid, but we have the design drawings, we have the cost estimates, and we've got, you know, as accurate as we can get in a pre-bid cost. And then we finalize what we're going to do in the project, and we can phase it in two phases and decide how much we want to do in the first phase and how much we will do in the second, but we'll have more accurate numbers. And then we would proceed with borrowing. When we did the first project, we borrowed the money and then did the design. What I really want to do is do the design and then borrow the money. That's really the right way to do it, now that we've got a little more time to work on it. It is a big job for us. It was a question you raised, Paul, about we have the time and the manpower to do the engineering. This is a real stretch. It really is. There's a lot of work to do here. But this is the right way to do the project. So we might borrow $2.5 million, maybe a little more in this immediate borrowing, and another $2.5 million in the next one. And that takes us through between 3 and 4 years of construction, which is about the max we can do at the pace we operate. That's my thought.
Can we address the $900,000 total cost for West Hoffman Road then? Let me just ask you a couple questions on that. If the county treats that as a resurfacing project,
right,
then our street reconstruction costs, they were offering to cover half of the project.
Yes.
But half of the not half of the infrastructure, half of the road back
and storm sewer. Yeah.
And storm sewer. They were going to participate in that.
Right.
So if they treated this as a relaying of the surface, then they would not participate in the curb and gutter and all of that type of reconstruction work. Is that right?
Except to the extent that there will be some repair of curb and gutter and sidewalk, but it will be repair.
It would be repair.
Isolated repair or replacement.
So I guess
it might change our cost a little bit.
What I'm hearing is we take that $900,000 out of the next borrowing cycle. Is that...
That's what I'm thinking. And we defer that work to a later date, maybe in the second borrowing.
In the second borrowing, okay. Because then I'm thinking of the original plan where we set up our phase one, phase two alternates. I'm not sure if we took it that far.
We do have some, yes.
The phase two alternates beyond the Hastings project,
mm-hmm.
that was a phase two additional. But I'm thinking that we continue on and possibly try to tackle one more, if you think you can. If we take out the West Hoffman project, do we want to keep going and stay with a project cost of $4 million?
We can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the next priority would be Bryan.
Would be what?
Bryan Street.
Bryan.
I think that would be our next priority. but we would relook at that. That's about a $900,000 street, I believe Bryan is.
Okay, otherwise we're down, we're at roughly $3 million then. We're just under $3 million.
Yeah.
If we take the $900,000. And then we would have to just deal with the water breaks on Hoffman.
Right.
As you anticipate that they will occur, though.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We can certainly do that, and that's why we did the $2.5 million, $3.5 million, and $5 million increments, so you could look at it and see what the cost impacts are. We certainly can. My concern is the cost of Riverside Drive. And if we do too big of a project right now, we want to make sure that we have the money for Riverside Drive, because it isn't that far down the road. And I don't have the cost for Riverside Drive. So that's where by going through some more engineering, we'll zero in on this a lot closer. Particularly with, later on we're going to talk about the work on Riverside Drive and how that project is going to unfold. So we will have the information in the next few months. We'll know where we're going to be.
And the logic behind doing all of Hoffman at one time no longer exists, because we can do it later and still get the same benefit.
It exists, but it's a resurfacing of the west portion, and and patch repair of curb and sidewalk. That's going to be lower cost. We still have to address our utilities, but we've got flexibility that we can move that back if we want, and the county's okay with that. We can move it back, but they don't want to move it back too far, because they do want to get it done. But they can kind of fit it into any one of the because it's resurfacing.
And what we weren't aware of that when they originally proposed it? We weren't aware of that when they originally proposed doing the bus stop? We thought it was complete reclaiming.
Well, they're reevaluating all of their projects.
Oh, okay.
And, they're kind of in the same situation we're in. As we do this and we get into it, we learn more about what we need to do. And so sometimes it changes a bit, because you find out that it wasn't as bad or it's worse than what you thought. That's what they found. They looked at West and said, wow, that's a resurfacing project. You may have utilities you want to do, but from our standpoint, we can resurface and refurbish the curb and so forth.
How long does it take for a resurfacing project to become, if it's not resurfaced, a repair project or a replace project? You must have some kind of window of time in there where, look, too late, we missed it.
The way we look at streets, a brand new street is rated a 10 on the PAVSA rating. When a street hits a 6 or a 7 is when you want to resurface it. They rate that. The county rates West Hoffman is a 3, and a 3 is a road that needs to be reconstructed. That's the way they rate it. I don't rate it as a 3. I rate that street as a 4. So you can't resurface it. You have to reclaim it and repave it. But that is a street where, with the condition of the curb and the sidewalk and so forth, that could be done, and you'll get another 20, 25 years out of it.
So by just repaving it?
By just repaving it, you'll get another 20. It would be an easy project if it wasn't for the fact that we have a sanitary sewer that's in very poor condition, mm-hmm. and water main that's in poor condition. So we have much more cost on West Hoffman than the county has.
And that's one of your concerns, is that we don't commit too much to that because
have Riverside Drive coming up. But we can add to this, if you want to add another street in this current project, we can do that. You can see what the impact is. You go from about $19 to probably about $25, roughly, is what it's going to be on the tax levy. The interesting thing, if you look at the utilities, the water and the sanitary sewer, and you would ask me to look at those costs, and on the tax levy, I didn't estimate what tax increases would be. This is what the increment is. Here I estimated the actual rates. We'll see how that goes. But here's my reasoning. In the water utility, our cost from the water authority is going down. Our cost increases in the water utility, I think, are going to be offset by our cost savings. So I show the rates for the water utility being pretty much flat. The only increase in the water utility is when you get out to 2016, we're going to have to borrow some money for the water meter project to complete that project. So that goes into the rate. Otherwise, it's flat up until we borrow for the balance of the water meter. And you can see the rate impact. If you look at 2016, the total monthly bill over on the right-hand side is $35.48. The project, if you spend $5 million on this original one, we go up to $36.12. So you went up 64 cents. Over 2014, 2015, 2016, you went up 64 cents a month to do these projects. That's not a very big impact. The bigger impact is on the sanitary utility, but if you look at, I figured the GBMSD rate increases are going to be, you can see right now we're at $30.50 for the average residents and customer. 2016 will be at $39.60 based on the GBMSD rate increases and some small rate increases for our cost. If you look down to the bottom, a $5 million project is $40.98. So we went up $1.38 or whatever it is.
For our portion, you mean?
Where's for these projects, it would go up $1.38 within 3 years.
The problem is residents don't care. If it, you know, if their sewer rates are going up by a third over that period.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is why I wanted to know what the numbers were. But you're already going to be getting socked because the rates from the Met are going to be skyrocketing. How much do we want to add on top of that as well?
But this is the best estimate of what I think the financial impact
is. Yeah, I appreciate these numbers.
I think these are reasonable estimates of what we're going to actually see.
Great. So is your recommendation the 2.5 so that we're limiting the amount that we're dedicating to this project until such time that we find out about Riverside? Is that
the idea? If you want to add another street to the 2.5, that's fine. We can do that because you can see what the rate impact is.
Yeah.
What I think is our best approach is that we make a commitment to move forward. We do the engineering on these projects, update our costs, finalize our plan. When we hit October, November, December, we make a final decision on exactly which projects we're going to borrow money for 2014, proceed with the borrowing, and then the balance of them, of these projects, which would be Riverside Drive and Green Avenue, and then if Hoffman gets pushed out, or whatever else we have, would be 2 years later, and we would borrow that in time to do the utility work on Riverside Drive and Green Avenue. And I think that's the best way for us to manage our risk and manage our project.
So we can say
add in another project now and make this $3 million or make it $3.5 million. It isn't a big rate impact, and we can handle adding one more street, and it does accomplish one more that needs to be done.
Right. But what you're saying is we need to wait and see what some actual costs would look like for the projects here before we decide between 2.5 and 3.5.
That would be fine. I am going to have to spend some money to do this because I have to do field survey work. And I do have to televise the underground utilities. So
that's thing you're going to need to do that anyway, right?
I'm going to have to do that anyway when I don't have the borrowing to finance that, to fund it. So, you know, there's a couple of ways to do it, I guess. And one is we could use internal funds and then reimburse those funds when we borrow. We're probably talking about $35,000 to $50,000 in total expense to do this engineering work. But
Claire hasn't fallen over yet, so I'm assuming that's okay.
But then there'll be a reimburse when we borrow, because that'll be the engineering cost.
Right.
Is that 2013 cost or
yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
You would do it still, yeah, before winter.
Oh yeah, we would be starting on this in a couple of weeks. We'd have to get done by November.
You want it by budget time, basically,
yeah.
To make a decision.
Yeah, we have to do a lot of work on this. This is a huge effort as far as engineering. It really is. But it's the only way to really nail down and know what we're going to spend.
What is the county's window for West Hoffman? If we're looking at deferring, I personally, it doesn't make a lot of sense to defer.
Two or 3 years, they want to get it done. We want to defer in a year, they're fine.
So what do you have mobilization costs to go back at it?
Yeah, it's a larger project. There would be some remobilization and
disruption
and so forth. And yeah, our engineering costs and so forth would be a little higher. By the way, the county is telling us in Huffman Road that if we want to, that could be engineered by a consulting engineer, not the county, and then bid publicly, except they would like to do the paving. But we can work on that. And actually, that would be to our advantage if it's done by a consulting engineer for the Huffman Road project, because that alleviates some of our workload and, you know, helps us meet the timetable. I'm concerned about the county meeting the timetable that they engineered. I don't think they're going to meet the time schedule. I think that's why they're proposing hiring a consultant. That would be a joint effort if we do that, a consultant between the county and ourselves. I'd like to see them manage the project rather than us, but it would be a joint selection process. And they actually use the procedure we use for selection. They took our protocol that we use and adopted it for all their projects for consultants. So we're on the same path as far as how to do it.
Okay. Anything further before I entertain a motion? Thanks for the info, Greg. I appreciate it. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Zeller?
I think we're going to have to fund the design work tonight in a motion if that's what the schedule requires. Correct? Is that true?
Yeah.
So we would have to fund it from
fund balance.
Fund balance.
Now, since she looked up again, your attention.
Unless we can use any of the utility funds for that purpose.
We would be able to do that, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then reimburse it later. That would take account for some of the cost. We always allocate the engineering cost to everything on the project anyway. So, yeah, we could do that.
We don't have to specify the account, I don't think, today. We can let the experts determine where, you know, what fund that's coming out of. How do you remember to reimburse it? What's the documentation that when we get to the point where we borrowed money that it goes into the?
We track it on a spreadsheet. Costs are tracked on spreadsheet. All the projects.
For the project.
All the costs
okay.
are on spreadsheets. We know where they are. What I do with them is I put them in a separate file, a copy of each one, so I know that this sanitary charge has to be reimbursed at a later date. So in addition to being, you know, recorded on a spreadsheet, I keep it in a separate file so I know that I bring it back later on and make sure that we get it back into the system.
So before we put a number on this motion, as far as a draw from fund balance, is it possible that the county would, with this contracted engineering service, do you think that they would consider designing the entire, using that consultant to design the entire stretch? So then that would take West Hoffman off your plate, then?
We could do that.
If we request that they do that as part of the project, and then...
Would there be cost savings that way, too?
Or sure.
That they're
doing it? There would be. Yeah, and when I was talking about cost, I was talking about our cost to do the design of our streets. If we do hire a consultant for Huffman Road, there's some costs there that we probably will incur yet this year. So,
as a 50-50 split,
exactly. Yeah, 50-50 split, and we could ask the county to cover that cost for a while, perhaps. But there is some cost there, and that's a new development. We didn't know that until last week. That would be proposed.
And are you still projecting that we would need $1 million for the East Hoffman project?
Good.
Okay. Well, I think I would put a number of $40,000 as a draw, a 2013 draw on fund balance. If that's entertain any changes to that, but. We can get some help on the Hoffman part, or to postpone those costs. Then can we do it for $40,000 to get you the figures that we need by budget time?
Does that work for you, Craig?
I didn't actually figure out the engineering costs. I didn't quite get to that point. We can start with that. That's certainly what we'll shoot for. It might end up being a little bit higher than that, just based on past experience, but we can always adjust later on, I guess.
Is that your motion?
I'll note that we allow or we open up the opportunity to draw on fund balance up to $40,000 for engineering services directly related to
our phase two borrowing, and with the stipulation that those that draw on fund balance be reimbursed from proceeds of the borrowing when they take place.
Is there a second? Trustee Gard?
I would second that, but can I just make a little modification?
Sure.
Can I? I think that maybe Craig and Claire should determine where the best place for that money should come from, not necessarily fund balance, but if there's a better place for it.
From the amendment, Mr.
Sure.
Understood. Out of Mr. Burke's salary, maybe? Was that what you're saying? Trustee Cook.
So, a question, just so I understand this. The design then would include the entire, both east and west.
East and West Hoffman,
right.
In conjunction with the county
and the utility work,
and the utility work, and that would be in the best interest of both the us and the county.
Okay. Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item 7, action regarding resolution 2013-12, thanking Larry John for 38 years of service as a street department employee. I'd like to make a motion that we accept and pass resolution 2013-12. Is there a second? Trustee Green, discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Oh, I should probably read it. Yeah. And there's a plaque associated with this that Larry wasn't able to make it tonight. You see the resolution in your packet. Those of you who would like to know what it says, be it resolved by the Village Board of the Village of Alloway, County of Brown, State of Wisconsin, that the Alloway Village Board wishes to thank Larry Bellin for his 38 years of dedicated service as a street department employee with the Village of Alloway, and to honor Mr. Bellin with a resolution in recognition of his excellent service to the community, passed and approved by the Village Board of the Village of Alloway this 18th day of June 2013. Item number 8, action regarding the resolution 2013-13 requesting timely, dependable, state-facilitated data to local units of government. I know what this is about since I talked to Tracy, but I'm not sure anyone else does. Would you like to hear from her before we proceed? Okay. Seems like a no-brainer, right? Something timely, dependable is always good.
Yeah, basically what we're asking is that the state provides us with the information needed in that last paragraph so that we can get our budgets together, have the information at hand, so we can make a budget and know exactly what we're getting from the state. For instance, for equalized values, we know net new construction, Wisconsin retirement, so any of those items that we really need to plug into our budget, computer aids. Every year it seems like it gets later and later and later, and you know, we're always waiting for that last number to put in so we have an accurate amount that we're going to have for our tax rate. So that's what this is requesting, looking at everything, getting everything to us by August 1st of the calendar year so that we have that information and can plug it into our budgets.
Are the municipalities doing something similar?
Yes, all the other municipalities in the area have done the resolution, and they're going to be distributing these shortly to our legislators.
Any questions? Is there a motion with regard to this item?
Move to approve.
Is there a second? Trustee Dart, second. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Item 9, action regarding hearing on a PDD extension request for 1901 libel. I'd like to make a motion to postpone this to the next village board meeting. Is there a second? Trustee Gendrich, seconds. Discussion? Tracy?
It will either be at the next one, July 2nd, or there was a request to be put off the 16th. So we're going to be meeting with the property owner and his attorneys, and then staff will be meeting with them shortly. So it may be at the next one, by the 16th.
Trustee Green?
In the meantime, per your memo, is he going to complete these projects? Because I know the original timeline in the memo was, you know, substantial compliance by August 20th. Does that still hold?
Actually, the PD expires July 19th.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but is this what you're working with him towards, even though we're postponing this?
Yes, we are working with him. He's agreed to these things that are in here, but his attorney got the information late from him, so she had some concerns and wanted to sit down and talk about it.
Okay. Thank you.
Any need for a public hearing or a kickback toward, or a referral back toward Plan Commission? I don't know if they want to weigh in on this again, because I know this has been near and dear to them for a long time.
The way our ordinance is states with the go back, he's basically asking for the extension or a recent, or the village board is looking at rescinding the PDD, and the ordinance does not require to go back to Plan Commission. The village board is the one that makes that decision. And they really can't change his PDD and what he's going to do out there. He's really asking for an extension, and then we're asking for consideration to get some of this, these items done.
Okay. Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Action regarding request for walking and bicycling only day on Riverside Drive at the end of the construction prior to opening for traffic. This is from the Plan Commission. Does anyone hear about this before we... It's a little bit different than a request, but I'll make a motion to put in a request for walking and bicycling only day on Riverside Drive at the end of the construction prior to the opening of the street for traffic. Is there a second? Trustee Gendrich. Just to get her seconds. Discussion, does everybody know what this is about?
Mm-hmm. I know when they completed 172 East, they did that. We had a 10K run that started at Green Isle and went out and back on the new stretch of highway, and it was kind of cool. Kinda.
Really?
Yeah, village event, so that school goes back a few years, but like 25, I think. So this would be cool. I think it would be a great thing.
So did you finish all 10K?
I did. Like I said, it's been a while.
So it's going to have to be a full marathon for Riverside Drive then.
That's right.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 11, action regarding the approval of the minutes from the Economic Development Committee meeting from June 7th, a specific recommendation to adopt the member position description. Is there a motion with regard to this item, Trustee Dart?
I'll move to approve the minutes from place on file and the recommendation to adopt the member position description.
Is there a second? Trustee Gant?
I'll second.
Discussion? Trustee Dart?
I think Trevor's been working on this, and I think he did a good job, and I think it's helpful for the Economic Development Committee, who is rather a new committee yet, really doesn't know, you know, what direction to go. So I think it's a starting place, and then if that's not exactly what it's, you know, it certainly can be changed, but I think it's a nice start.
Anything further? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item 12, Public Works Committee minutes dated June 13th, 2013. Can I get a motion to place those minutes, accept and place those minutes on file before we take A through D specific recommendations? Trustee Green?
Move to place on file.
Is there a second? Trustee Gast?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries to place minutes on file. 12A, the contract for water meter project data hosting. Mr. Byrne?
This is the second contract of the two that we talked about earlier that we need to implement the metering infrastructure project, the new water meters and the meter reading system. This is the contract that we execute between Village of Alloway and the Central Brown County Water Authority. Central Brown County Water Authority will be the entity that contracts with Census, which is the meter supplier, contracts with Census for the actual data hosting. We will use their website to load our water meter data into and get the data back so we can do our billing. They'll manage all the data, maintain the servers, maintain the software, take care of all that stuff. This is the contract with the Water Authority, because we have to have one entity contracting with Census to maximize the cost savings that we were offered in the solicitation when we negotiated the procurement. So this is basically a pass-through. Whatever the cost is to the Water Authority, they will bill each member. And we've got that protocol all set up and agreed to. So this is simply the metering data hosting contract. It has been reviewed by our attorney. It was drafted by the Water Authority attorney, Bergman Clark, but it has been reviewed by our attorney. There's one modification to this, and that is under paragraph 5.2. We're just simply going to insert the project into it so that it's clear that the insurance requirements relate to the project. So we are comfortable with this contract. We're recommending that you authorize the village president to go ahead and execute this contract.
Trustee Green?
Move to approve.
Trustee Gannon?
I'll second.
Further questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 12A passes. 12B. Is there a motion with regard to water utility delinquent bill collection, or do we want to hear from Mr. Brent? It's pretty straightforward to me. Trustee Gass?
I'll move to approve the policy.
Is there a second? Trustee Dart, seconds?
Actually, I'll modify the motion to implement the policy. It's already in the books.
Seconded by Trustee Dart. Discussion or questions? But how long has it been on the books, Craig? 90 days seems like a lot to give people for delinquent bills. I know.
Well, it is, but this has been in our operating rules for many, many years, and it's never been implemented. But we have a very large account receivables at an extended period. The reason that I have the 90, well, two things. Brought it forward so that it would go through committee and board, so that everybody understands that we're implementing the policy that we already have in place. It's just never been implemented. But because you may get phone calls from people saying, well, yeah, why are you doing this now? So that you can answer those questions. You know why we're doing that. Our accounts receivables are large enough that we need to do this. But we're going to be, the second point is we're going to be deliberate and slow and gentle in implementing it, because it's been on the books and we never used it. That's why we started out in 90 days. We're only going to take a portion of the accounts receivables every month and put them into the process. It'll take us a year to implement this, because there are at least a couple of hundred that are this delinquent. So we're going to take them 15 or 20 at a time and put them into the process. We just want to keep the accounts receivables much more manageable, so that when we hit September, October, and we have to take this large number of delinquent accounts, send out all these letters, collect all the money, and then the balance goes on the tax roll, this will bring that number down and keep it a much lower number and make it more manageable for the utility, and our cash flow will be better.
Yeah, I understand and agree with the logic for doing it. I think it's a great idea. 90 days. I understand also the rationale for easing our way into it, because we have a history of having lots of ordinances and rules that we never enforced, and now we're going to. But those other rules were things that significantly affected someone's life, and they, for example, you know, plowing sidewalks. They didn't have to do it for a long time. They were supposed to. It was on our books. And now we're going to make them actually do it. That's much different than, I don't pay my water bill for 3 months. I know I'm supposed to be doing that. I mean, there's no confusion about that. So I wouldn't worry as much about being easing in and being gentle. If someone hasn't paid their water bill in 3 months, there's absolutely no excuse for it.
It's time.
It's definitely time. If anyone calls me as a trustee and says, why are you implementing this now? I understand it's been on the books, but you just haven't implemented it. I'll ask them why they haven't paid their water bill in 3 months. I mean, it's a no-brainer there.
We can make a charter if you like. That's not a problem.
I mean, that's,
we can make it 60 days.
60 days.
That's my inclination, but I'm not sure if we can do that because the motion and the agenda was to implement an existing policy. I'm not sure if we can actually change it.
What kind of experience do we have with this?
Do we do that?
The
well, what happens is, what brought this to light is a bankruptcy case with a fairly large credit that we have to issue back to a customer because of the bankruptcy. Had we had this policy in place, we never would have had that credit. And that's when we said, well, wait a minute, why aren't we doing this? And, you know, it's a workload thing, a variety of things as to why it was never done. But what happens right now, and in this particular, this is a good example, this bankruptcy case, it's a good example of, they didn't pay their water bill for months and months and months. We put it on the tax levy. It was $880. And you know, that's a lot of money. And when we started looking at it, we saw there were a number of them that were 6 months, 7 months, 8 months past due. And they ended up going on the tax levy. And there's quite a few. There's in the 90 days past due, the report that I have, there was about $100,000 in that category. There was $25,000 in the 60 days past due and $50,000 in the 30 days past due. So you can see it's really $150,000 to $175,000 in total that's past due. And it's been that way for, you know, for several years.
I mean, it's going to make a big change even within 90 days. I'm just wondering if 60 days would be enough, and if there are cases where people, something's happened and they can't, there's a reason for it, we can always grant sort of an exception. But
one of the requirements is that if a customer says, I have difficulty paying the bill, we are required under Public Service Commission rules to negotiate a payment plan, but then they have to follow the payment plan.
I think 60 days is fine.
We put 90 because of not having done it and getting into it slowly. We fully expected down the road we'd shorten that up, which we can just simply do.
You can do that, but I would also suggest that with the increasing GBMSD rates and everything, we're going to see more delinquencies coming down the road.
Yeah.
Water and sewer.
Right.
Because, so I mean, our rates have tripled in the last, you know, since we've become part of the water.
But I think the solution to that is making sure people know we have payment plan options up front rather than them not paying their bill at all and then waiting for it to be 90 days old. All they've done is delayed the debt.
And gas goes up, too, and they have to pay it, you know.
Yeah.
So I'd like to make a substitute motion. And I, as far as I'm reading this, the agenda just lists the item. It doesn't list anything about the specific action. And this is just a recommendation from the Public Works Committee. So I think we can forward a different motion. I'd like to make a substitute motion that we accept the implementation, the recommendation of the Public Works Committee, but change the period from 90 days to 60 days. Is there a second? Trustee Gant?
I'll second.
Discussion? I think Trustee Kopisch raises a good point, though, Craig, that we're going to want to make sure to be thinking about payment plans that will work for people. And we want to encourage people to even maybe partake in those if they haven't been delinquent for 2 months. Yeah. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Well, 12C, action regarding the street sweeping no parking plan. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Green?
Move to implement per recommendations from Public Works.
Is there a second? Trustee Zeller? Discussion? Do we have the stickers printed, Craig? I know we talked about this a while ago.
Yeah, we do, and we'll be putting them on the collection cards in the next 2-3 weeks. We will have a crew of the summer help go through and do the whole village. And this this other item here is we do need to have some posted signs. So we looked at the village map, and we're taking the districts and we collect them, and they'll be between 4 and 6 signs to cover a whole district, put on existing poles. So legally, we cover that requirement that there has to be a posted no parking. And so that's part of this program, and then this allows us to complete our grant and get that done and off the books. So we're completely done with our sweeping program that's in place.
What do the stickers look like? How big are they? What color are they?
They're white, and they're 4x6, and then on each garbage cart, there's a flat surface.
Yeah.
In the front of the cart, that's where it goes.
And it just says no parking?
Yep, no parking on garbage collection day for street sweeping purposes between 6 a.m. and 4 p.m.
It says that on the sticker?
It says that right
on 4x6?
Yeah.
It's not like you're going to go by and be able to read it, because that was what we talked about. And we had samples at the meeting, because that was kind of my thing, always people going to be able to read this as a reminder. It's more, as Craig described, more reminders to residents to remind them that they should be parking out there that day. So it's not something that anybody going by is really going to be able to see.
So is the expectation that each property owner you can't have parking in front of your property?
Right.
That day.
That period.
And that's the reason for the limited number of other signs that we post, that at least gives someone outside driving in the village half a chance of seeing it and knowing that when they see the garbage cans, it shouldn't be parking on the street.
Right.
So hopefully between the residents and the signs, that covers it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 12D, discussion on Riverside Drive project.
Can I address that?
Yeah, I'm not sure what we're...
This is informational for you. The Department of Transport, Mead and Hunt, the design engineer for the Riverside Drive project, contacted us about a week ago and would like to set up now regular meetings and a process to get input from the village on the preliminary design of Riverside Drive. We originally talked about last week's Public Works meeting as the kickoff for that. But the DOT felt that they wanted their own dedicated meeting. They didn't want to be part of a short agenda meeting like we have. And so then we were targeting early July, and the date got revised a little bit, but now the date that we would like to kick this off is July 17th, that's a Wednesday, at 5:30, here at the Village Hall in the boardroom. Question for you, and the way we structured this is, the DOT wanted to go throughout the village, to various committees and so forth, and they said that's fine, but let's run this through the Public Works Committee, so that it has a focal point, and then we can bring others in. And they agreed with that. If you think this date is workable for you, certainly we would schedule it as a public works function, but the whole board is invited, and as we go forward, we would invite various committees and entities that should be involved in it, like how the beautification committee that should be involved in landscaping, we would schedule that and bring that in and make that part of it. So they'd like to set up a routine monthly meeting for a discussion and input. And the peer would also be present in those meetings.
Okay, are you looking for an action from the board?
Nod your head if you think that the 17th would be a workable time. Yeah, that's...
Versus the 10th that is in here, huh?
Yeah, the 10th got canceled. They couldn't. The DOT couldn't make it that day, so they asked to reschedule it to the 17th. In that first meeting, they're going to talk about part of the reason for delaying is they want to finish the traffic analysis, so they're going to talk about give you a presentation on the analysis of Riverside Drive and what that means in terms of how that road has to be designed for traffic. can't give you any answer to what it looks like because they won't tell me. And I'll wait till that meeting. But, so this will be something that we need to think about as a Public Works Committee, but also as a board, to whatever extent you'd like to be involved, it would be open to you and we'll have some regularly scheduled meetings.
Okay, so I'll entertain a motion that for July 7th to be the kickoff meeting of these would be actually be special meetings of the Public Works Committee then?
Yeah, that's what they would be.
And to establish regular meetings with the county for this. Or the DOT, I'm sorry. Actually, I'll make that motion. I don't want to entertain it, I'll make it. Second by Trustee Genrich. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
That was July 17th,
is that,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I said 7. I'm sorry. I meant 17th. Oh. Yeah. Tracy, can you send out Outlook requests or have someone send out Outlook requests with regard to that?
Yep.
Right. Thanks. Item number 13, adoption of ordinance 2013-07, repealing and recreating section 5.15 of chapter 5, health. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Guest?
I'm going to adopt the ordinance.
Is there a second? I'll second. Discussion? Tracy?
Basically what this is, the trailers just doesn't seem to want to go away, so... this is changing it a bit because of the street parking of the trailers. That 5013C4 is has to do with street parking of trailers or any of the things that are in our trailer ordinance. And so it's pulled out of that top one because everything else would be addressed in that, anything else in the ordinance. And then in the bottom, they put the 5013C4 back in, which again is the street parking of trailers and things, and then their handle's slightly different. So it was just clarifying those two and having them be the way they actually should have been put in. And then the $50 that's up in the top one was actually $25, and that is now changed to $50. So, and Debbie, is there any other changes in that? I think that's the bulk of it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Update on cell phone coverage. Mr. Burns, if you have some info on this.
The company is Extenet. And what it is it is a cell system. It's part of Buell Communications and Buell Engineering is what it is. And the provider is Extenet. And what it is they are a localized cell communications company. What they do is they go into networks that don't have good coverage, and they provide local coverage. And they looked at several communities in Wisconsin, and the Green Bay area, Alloway, and I forget what the other ones were. There was another two or three. Had areas where the cell coverage was poor. What they did is they negotiated agreements with the major cell companies where these people would come in and put in the localized collectors and then sell the communications back to the major providers. So it's like what will happen here if we accept this is there'll be local collectors like down Rival Street, and then it zigzagged through in this portion of Mallory where the signals are very poor, the reception is poor from some of the main towers.
So these are like routers that will just
these
be sort
like
of
routers.
Intermediate steps to the tower.
They're local routers. So it will pick up the communications and then signal it up to one of the main towers and then into the system. They're looking at a network that would go from Mallory through Green Bay. There's areas in Green Bay that have poor coverage. So this would be one project that would do this whole area. I assume from Stan, I don't know if that has to go through planning or whatever. I assume it would be a building permit. They haven't come forward with a proposal yet because they're working with Wisconsin Public Service and have just been able to kind of nail down all the design requirements that they have to meet
So they're doing their design right now. They are suggesting that either at our July or August Public Works meeting, they would like to come in and give a presentation and present their proposal to us for what they would like to do. So that's kind of where we're at. The delay in it, I had a meeting with them, I don't know, 7-8 months ago in some communication, and they were having difficulty in getting linked up with the right parties. We got them to a couple of the different people that they needed to get to within WPS and so forth, and now they've kind of nailed that down, so it's moving forward, and they'll be coming to us with a proposal relatively soon. There's no cost to us, really nothing we need to do, as far as I know, there's nothing we need to do other than to, you know, issue a building permit, accept the service, and go from there.
Do we have an indication of, I would imagine they have already identified the bad spots. Do we have a map of where those spots are according to their study?
I have seen it, but I do not have it. But yeah, they do have that. And then that's what we'll get. That's the information we'll get from them.
And will you ask them before they come to the meeting if they can send information along so we can kind of review it before that night?
They're going to try to be here for our July Public Works meeting to give a presentation to the committee.
Okay.
That's the kind of thing.
Trustee
Dillard? It's a nice feature. I think it's really going to be helpful.
I think it is too. My concern is that there'll be different perceptions on the part of our residents as to the quality of their cell phone service, and if they're not in the identified trouble area, they want to give them a chance to speak out and let them know that they're having problems as well.
Maybe add to the service where it might be needed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Trustee Dillard?
So, I guess, Craig, I'm wondering if we have any standing at all in this service. If they're using Wisconsin Public Service polls exclusively, and Wisconsin Public Service has an existing utility easement for all their infrastructure, we really don't have any say in this as far as where they're placed, and do they wouldn't really need a building permit for us to do this. We're not expecting payment for this, are we? There'd be no contract such as where we have with the water tower. But I guess if this would be technically a arrangement or a contract or agreement between WPS and the provider, is that correct, or are they proposing any other village property to post these on?
I don't know. I don't know much more about it than what I've explained here. So
I'll just wait to that.
What we need to do is get their proposal.
Sure.
I do know that they're very enthusiastic about coming to the village and presenting what they'd like to do.
Okay.
So I think more than anything, they want to have a good working relationship with the village.
I'm thinking that they would, that the device would require power. And so the power poles would be the logical source of power. And then, do we have any radiation concerns? Are there any technical issues that the village has any standing on?
I would think there would be, Paul. Building permit would probably be the issue, and they would potentially have to go through a conditional use permit. Because if you think of the Mr. Fell's property where he has that big flagpole that has the cellular power in it, when they did some work on there, the policy that we've been using for anybody with new cell towers or new antennas that they're putting up is if you can see that and it's a change to that structure, they have to get a conditional use permit and they also have to get a building permit. So depending on what they're doing, even though it is on the WPS pools, there may be the potential that they have to get a conditional use permit through us as well as get a building permit. So we'll have to see what they're doing.
It's Schrader property too. We've had people in here.
Right, it's Schrader's property. They had to get a conditional use permit for that as well. So the village wants to have some say in what that looks like and make sure that it's done properly and that it's not, it's built properly as well. So, but who knows what they're doing or what they're going to look like, but the potential, I think, is there that something would have to be approved through the board, through the building department.
Okay.
Anything additional? Is there a motion to convene into closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 19.851E, deliberating or negotiating the purchase of public properties, etc., the proposal for the old Village Hall site? Trustee Kopisch, is there a second? Trustee Darts, roll please. Trustee Kopisch?
Yes.
Trustee Gendrich?
Yes.
Trustee Green?
Aye.
Aye. Trustee Darts?
Aye.
Trustee Gass?
Aye.
Trustee Zeller?
Yes.
We're in closed session.